starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Okay, we're back. So why don't we go to our first caller? We have Harvey in Manhattan.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. How are you both?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. First, I just want to say that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior.
All right.
And my question is about my little boy. He hangs out with other little boys, and they taunt each other about each other's religions, and there are occasions where I'll go into his room, and I'll find him literally, practically eating his own BM while he's listening to the Don and Mike Show. And I was wondering if you think this is healthy for little boys to be doing this sort of thing.
How old is your boy?
He's 27.
Where's your BM detector now, see?
Oh, I don't know how you got that call through. Hang up on this guy. We used to use a delay for morons. You know what? I haven't had a call like that in years. Because of call identifying, you'd think that the morons were gone.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
Yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Listen to who's enjoying the new sound of Don and Mike on 105 WAVA.
Hi, this is Larry King.
This is Dee Kelly.
Hi, this is Johnny Osmond.
Hi, this is Bob Denver, Gilligan.
This is Danny Bonaducci.
Hello, everyone. This is Maury Povich.
Hi, this is Carmen Safaro.
Hi, this is Cesar Romero. And I'm really enjoying the new sound of Don and Mike.
What the hell is Look at this?
All right, it's time for another kooky, crazy call.
Another kooky, crazy call is a copyrighted feature.
And this time, pet store. I'm going to disguise my voice and attempt to purchase 10 parakeets. Let's see what happens.
Hello, House of Pet.
Yes, do you sell parakeets, there?
Yes, we do.
How many do you have?
I think we have 7 or 8 at the present time.
Well, I'm going to, need 10.
Well, we have another store in the area, and I'm sure we could get some more from them.
I see. In other words, you'd have to go to another store then, huh?
Yes, we would.
Okay, well, let me think about it, and I'll get back to you later.
All right, thank you.
The Bear Down Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl 35 on the frozen tundra of Lando Field. For the Bears, it's about their last-ditch effort. Fourth down and goal. They're at the 8-yard line. The handoff to Buzz Burbank. Breaks the tackle at the line of scrimmage. He's at the 5. Sheds the tackle at the 2. Touchdown, Buzz Burbank. And the Bears have won the world championship.
I don't think this contest's over yet, Buzz. If that is your real name.
Well, listen, I didn't force myself onto your women. I simply gave them something that you all wasn't giving them. Like Frank, you for instance. Hey, your wife, she loves you, man. does?
Yes, she does. She always used to call out your name when I was rocking on top of her.
Can Mark Harmon and Sean Connery solve the crime?
Does Crocodile Dundee have the bite on Rambo?
Are Hall & Oates back in harmony again?
Does Tom Hanks have a big hit on his hands?
These stories and more when Entertainment Tonight calls on the Kremlin for Tuesday, May 31st, 1988. Everybody, I'm Mary Hart.
And I'm John Tesh.
In the spirit of Glasnost, a couple of hot radio comrades are doing what they can to pierce the Iron Curtain. Washington DJs Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara of station WAVA broadcast live this morning to the Soviet Union.
Good morning, Moscow!
Доброе утро, Москва!
The idea for the simulcast happened during the last summit meeting in the United States.
They had heard us when the last summit was here in Washington, and they must not understand a lot of English because they loved what we did.
Yeah. Anywhere you can make a buck, do it.
The Russian audience certainly got a taste of American radio, including some old-fashioned capitalism.
If you'd like to buy some Don and Mike t-shirts, it's WAVA.
And some bad jokes.
The guy says, well, what's the bad news? Doctor says, oh, you have 24 hours to live.
Oh, no.
The guy says, what's the very bad news? I was supposed to call you yesterday.
Let's go to D.C. and Garrison's on the line. What say you, Garrison?
Hey, O'Reilly. How you doing?
Good.
I would have to give Person of the Year to a man that's led, to a man that stuck up for what he believed in, to a man that backs down from no challenge. That would have to be Don Geronimo of the Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo of the Don and Mike Show. Now, are you related to this guy?
What's that?
Are you related to him? Do you know him?
No.
Did he give you a car?
No.
Because Garrison, on the screen here, it has Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
Oh, you did not. You wanted to give this guy a plug, Garrison. We know where you live. You're going to come over to your house tonight and take a reprise, I guess. But it'll be a gentle reprise. We'll probably force you to wash our car. What say you, Donald? Michael, what say you? I'm a karma kind of guy. I'm an Eastern kind of guy, a wind chime kind of guy. That's me.
I smoke marijuana every other day.
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh.
Hold on, I'll talk to you.
I'm very busy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry. Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Phil to write some patter for the debut of a Hancock potato, but I hardly think he has captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game hot potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, "Hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself." I mean, the audience is going to be supposed to headline.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Or you don't know, could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
The crew on those Entertainment Tonight pieces.
A true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And his soul torn apart. View discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Rob Weller and all the ships at sea. Hey, they know when to hold them, and they know when to fold them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you, Robbie, and thanks for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, new episode on this Thursday, April 24th.
Right.
Phone number 877-365-3636.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, bud.
Welcome.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
I didn't even have time to welcome the Canadians
Welcome.
Today.
Welcome.
Right.
Okay. So, today we had too much stuff, not enough music. Your main number from the United States, God bless America, 877-365-3636. Canada.
Yay!
800-636-1067 and Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. Okay?
One of these days, you...
What?
They're you. Outsiders.
I'm you. Part French-Canadian.
You
are on the air. Don and Mike. Hello.
Yo, Don and Mike.
Yes, hello. Welcome. Welcome to the Tards. Welcome to the Tards. Hi.
Hey, Don, did you bring in the bra that Frida found?
Negative. Forget all about it, my friend.
Oh.
And she didn't show it to me last night, so I still don't know exactly what type of bra it is. I'll make a mental note. Well, all the guys are coming over tonight.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take turns.
So, yeah, we'll take turns wearing it. And
that's tonight?
Tonight.
All right. Mike. I look forward to hearing your stories tomorrow.
You know it's tonight. That's right. We're gonna play poker tonight, and I've got it covered. I've got, of course, the poker table.
Yep.
Robbie has a brand new, unsealed, or rather sealed, mm-hmm. deck of cards. So
excellent.
So you won't accuse him of cheating.
Who, Rob?
Yeah, you always accuse him of cheating.
Yes.
And let me see. I think my funny Connie Honey, speaking of my wonderful wife, has gone to Price Club or Costco, whatever it is, Sam's mm-hmm. Club, to get a platter of something.
Of treats.
Of roll-ups or something like Wonder that. Right. And some other, like, you know, a pasty poofs or something like that.
Very nice.
And hard liquor and beer.
Very good.
And bring your money.
All right.
Yeah. Bring your money. Because we're ready to do some Las Vegas-style gambling tonight in my house.
Hope you guys are ready to go deep.
I've already been to the bank, Mike. I've already been to the bank, and I've got all my $1 bills and all my $5 bills.
Is that what we're playing with?
And I've got a few 20s, as a matter of fact, just to make things nice and interesting.
Let's gamble.
All right, I'm ready as you hold your money in front of me, a la Bob Barker.
There you go.
That's really exciting. All I need
Bob
is
Hope.
I just need $5, just enough to start winning. You only need a little bit.
Right.
You may need a lot.
We're not going to play any of your carny games, though, tonight. We're
no, gonna... Mike, the deal is whoever's the dealer...
Dealer's choice.
...gets to pick the game. So that means for at least four of the hands, you know, me, you, Buzz, and probably Joe Arden, it'll just be a simple five-card draw.
Right.
But when you get to Rob, that's when you get the crazy games like...
Like Hide the Bonnet or
now,
whatever.
Now we're going to play Dr. Pepper. Now, what was...
Dr. Pepper was easy. That was tens, twos, and fours were wild, but you had to pay for them. Nickel a spot.
Anyway, yeah, the guys are coming over tonight. We're going to play poker, and we're going to watch the Michael Jackson show on the big screen at the same time.
What was the last time you played poker? I haven't played in months.
Well, I played when we were in Las Vegas, but
right.
I mean... Played with guys? I feel...
Oh, like wait, I did play when we were in Atlantic City. We played that... Remember that game, that three card...
And I also feel like I've cheated on you guys. Like, I've had a mistress to you guys. Since the guys from the radio station stopped coming by, whenever we stopped playing, like a year or so ago, I've had other neighbors come down.
To play poker?
Yeah, so the seats have been filled by others.
Your skills are razor sharp.
Well, I'm ready.
I'm not.
Let
I'm
me
not,
just say, I'm
not
totally,
at all.
I'm totally
well,
ready.
Not even close.
But you,
I mean, that's your thing is to not be ready. Right. But I haven't played since the last time we all played together, which has been, what, a year or two ago?
But, Buzz, that's why.
That's
not
the charm.
Not only are you a valued member of the Don and Mike broadcast team, and we love you.
I know that.
Forever.
I know that.
But every card game has to have a stooge.
Right.
Every card game has to have one guy that you know.
That will shaking hands when he's shuffling.
Well, my anticipation is twofold, because there's the ridicule that I'll get tonight, and then there's the ridicule that'll be on the show tomorrow. So I'm doubly excited about the game.
Play the patsy.
Yeah, and, you know, we know that you're going to end up leaving my house tonight with your pants, with your pockets.
You know what?
Inside out.
I'm going to make a prediction. I think that maybe there will be a replacement for Buzz tonight.
As the patsy? You think Joe?
I'm not sure what Joe's level of card skill is.
I bet he's better than I am.
About it.
I bet he's better than me.
I bet that Joe's better than Buzz.
Well, why don't we ask him?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he will.
Let me give him a call. Because Joe's going to be, it's me and you and Buzz and Robbie and Joe and John Norman, our production guy. Hello?
Pinky Poon.
Hey, how good are you at poker?
It depends.
What, on how high you are?
That's a bluff.
How drunk you are?
It's a luck thing.
But you understand the game.
Yeah, most of them. I'm a little worried about Rob and his silly card games.
We all are, Joe. Don't worry.
Yeah, you're gonna find. See, Buzz, you worry too much about being ridiculed like, for your palsy when you try to deal. And
I don't have palsy.
And a lot of times, Buzz will do this. you get the cards and you go, Buzz, I got seven cards.
Uh-huh.
Go, I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
And then you have to re-deal.
Yeah.
But Buzz, I think that you are going to take a back seat in the ridiculing tonight because it's the first time that we've ever played socially with Jordan.
This is true. And you know, and Buzz, let's not forget that I always collect just a bit of ridicule. When I turn the table over and leave in a huff.
Yes.
Yeah, well, which is the tradition.
That's just entertaining.
I mean, really, if any of you are prepared for real goodbyes tonight, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
But at a certain point in the game, I'm going to say, I'm out, and then I'm upstairs.
Yeah. And he's going to be gone.
Right.
But it'll be a great time. So, Joe, we'll see you there.
You bet.
Don't forget, we're going caravan from here to my house tonight.
That's right.
We're all set up. We're all ready.
Yeah, I'm excited about it.
We've not played cards for a goddamn long time.
It's been a long time.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, how are you doing today? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, got a quick question for you, Don. It may bore your you-know-what off for a second, but I've heard you've been talking for a while about you being on the diet and losing all this weight.
Trying not to talk about it so much, but yes.
The only thing I was going to ask is, I know you had been saying that you were using SlimFast. Are you using it like, is this just
a supplement. I have one.
No, I know that.
I only have one SlimFast a day when I'm here at work.
Okay.
Other than that, I use EAS protein shakes.
Gotcha.
And I have a sensible meal at night. And I sound like a goddamn commercial. And now that my back's okay, I'm working my ass off.
Yeah. And that's the key part that you don't hear a lot of people talk about.
Yeah, right. And I got this thing now, besides the treadmill and doing the sit-ups now, my wife, she's so helpful, got me this big, gigantic, you know, those big, enormous... A plastic rubber balls.
Yeah, yeah.
She got me one of those things, and the deal is that you get on your back and you put your feet against this thing, and it makes doing a sit up nearly impossible.
Wow. Yeah, it's difficult. Very, you be careful with that.
Sucks. Really sucks.
Especially with back, that's a back buster sometimes.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah, I just want to know, when you guys play poker tonight, are you going to use like names, like, you know how you are Danny Ocean?
No, we use our real names.
Yeah,
we use our real names.
Yeah, how jive would that be if we all used fake names? I think we get enough fake names in this little business.
I'm going by my real name, Buzz.
And I'm going by my real
Buzz once I get high.
I'm going by my real name, Don.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Well,
get high.
It better help my game.
Well, you know what? I think I'll use my real name tonight, Izzy.
What was your nickname?
Spike
O'Meara.
Like Spike it. Deals.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. We're going to be cards and drinking tonight, huh?
Yes. And and smoking. Buzz?
Yes.
You don't have to hide your cigarettes when you come to my house.
Okay.
No need to hide them. Plenty of ashtrays. I'll be smoking a cigar. I got a nice one for you, Mike.
Very good.
So it'll be poker in the rear and liquor in the front.
Okay, thank you.
That's what it was all about.
Yeah. I want to thank Jerry Seinfeld for calling in. He's a close friend of ours, and he likes
That's
disguising his
talking.
Voice. And like Felix, he's got one of those voice machines. You know,
Michael?
Like, hello.
Goodbye.
How did Mike? Hello. Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Spike O'Meara.
Go.
Word of advice for you tonight.
What's that?
If you can't spot the sucker in your first half hour at the table, you are the sucker.
That's a good point. I like that.
Interesting.
I've never really... there is always one guy. You can victimize one guy at the table. And
I was.
No, you know, actually, I have a fair amount of luck at this game, and I'm pretty good at bluffing. What I have trouble with are the mechanics, you know, actually handling the cards.
Right, exactly.
Counting.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Are you going to bring all your money in Tupperware tonight?
No, I have a couple of ones and a five and a stack of 20s.
Hey, there you go, big spender.
There you go,
Mr. Vegas.
That's good. I guess we'll decide when we get there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Give me the steaks. Yeah, we'll do it, you know, start slow and then we'll build up.
I need a change.
We'll get rid of the pretenders and then we'll get the actual contenders.
Be fun.
Hello?
Hey, I'm part of the legacy.
From Philly. Hey. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome. And I have two quick questions, and I hope I can get them both in.
All right.
The first one is, I'm just curious, in your poker games, because I play a lot of poker, do you set a time limit for the game, or do you play until somebody runs out of money, or do you play until you just don't feel like playing anymore?
I play until I don't feel like playing anymore.
Well, Mike is always, either Mike or Buzz is the first to leave. Because either Buzz will get busted right away, he'll lose all his money, he'll leave, or... Mike will start losing, and then Mike will just say, okay, that's it, I'm gone.
Right.
I'll stay till the end, because I live there.
Right.
Rob will stay until I kick him out. And Joe's a wild card, because Joe's... No, you know what? I think Joe might be worse than Rob, because Joe came to my house for the Super Bowl, and Joe is one of those people that had to be told, you must leave now.
You have to leave. Well, Joe had such a good time.
Yeah, Joe can't help himself.
And he was the first to get there for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he was. Like two hours before the game, Joe showed up.
Yeah.
And I guess the second question, and I've been dying to find out about this for over 2 weeks now. Mike, did you ever get your car fixed?
What do you mean? I mean, as far as the dent?
Padlock, the brakes.
Oh, no, no. You know, tell me about
the brake thing. Yeah, the brakes are fixed.
And who was right? The guy, Pat Goss, the car guy, or the guy that called in on the show?
Yeah. The guy, the rotors. It was a rotor issue. So that's Pat Goss.
Pat Goss.
He was right. The second guy, that brake system doesn't exist on my car.
That's what Pat told me when I spoke to him.
The reflector or whatever, what the hell was it?
Reluctor.
Reluctor.
Which sounds like a drug.
The reluctor, that's not a relevant
sounds
issue
like my wife.
On my car. That's the way I understood
when
it.
When I bring the offer of sex up.
Reluctor.
She's the reluctor.
brand new ones for the back.
Hello,
the
Don and Mike Show.
Excellent.
What's up, Don? What's up, Mike?
Yo.
Matt from Sacramento here. I was wondering if you guys are going to have a jail party after cards tonight.
Yep. But that's always a secret, though. But yes,
now it's not.
Oh, and Don, when you come to Sacramento, we'll have our own jail party here if you want.
Well, as always, sir.
All right, man.
About the secret jail party is the betting that's involved with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, you know, who's first?
Who's going to win?
That I always win.
Who's first?
Really?
Buzz.
Well, last time Buzz came in second and fifth.
It's called throw the rope.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hi. Can I play with Joe Ardinger's team?
Oh, you're the Joe fan, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Joe.
No, Joe doesn't have a team.
They don't have a team in poker.
It's every man for himself tonight when we play cards. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hey, Sean.
Sean, hi.
How's it going? I'm part of the legacy, man. Philly all the way.
There you go.
There you go. The legacy from Philly. And incidentally, if you're wondering, the standoff continues as we go into day number three and still no contact.
Ouch.
From WYSP program director Tim Sabian.
Still the
jerk.
Stevensian method is still being used.
Yeah,
not to be confused with the Socratic method.
You know, even today I heard from Lil J. Stevens.
There he is.
Which, you know, that's pretty good stuff.
Lil J.
Right.
You know, who's just is, well, he's not as big of a pain in the ass as Tim because he's like half Tim's size. But he makes up for it. The dwarf group program director for the Washington corridor called me today to say, well, Mike, it'd be better if you do it like in the midget voice.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, he said.
Don?
Yeah, and then.
Hey, Stevens.
He said, great book.
Great book for you.
I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, you guys are doing it again and again and again.
Your listeners always seem to arise to the occasion for you.
How do you do it? I really look up to you. I think you're doing a fantastic job. All of us down here are behind you 100%, looking up to you and trying to avoid your feet.
His voice is a little higher than that.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
There you go.
We're real happy about you. Don, keep in there. Plug. Don, it's Jay Stevens.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Don. It's Jay Stevens. Don, it's Jay Stevens calling, and I want to say, wow.
There
you are doing a superb job.
You know, that's your Vinny Bell voice. That's it.
All of us down here are really, really thrilled with you. Keep up the good work. We're rooting for you down here.
I've been here from Tim.
Hey, Badu.
Nothing from Tim, though.
Represent the lollipop you.
Would you like a plate?
That's, you mean the phlegm?
Yeah.
That's because I'm drinking Mountain Dew Code Red.
Hello.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Don, I just want to tell you real quick.
Yeah.
You know the Kama Sutra, right?
Do I? I wrote it.
Yeah, okay, well, they have a whole new one that involves those little exercise balls that you got for your back.
Well, now the exercise ball that my wife got me is not little, it's gigantic.
Right, they have the big ones that fill up with air and everything.
Have you done the squats with it yet?
No.
Where you put it up against your back and then you roll up and down the wall. That's an exercise in pain.
No, I just did
that's a good one right there. But they have a whole new Kama Sutra that involves that book. And let me tell you, A-OK, 4 stars.
All right, thanks, my friend.
No problem. You should check that out.
Like, that's going to help me get laid at home.
Kama Sutra.
Like, that's going to help my situation at home getting laid. You know, as long as we're on the topic of Jay, as we were a second ago, that he's,
what,
one, of, he's one of these group program directors, and we have the guy you've heard on the show, Michael Hughes.
Hello.
He is the group manager for the Infinity Stations in Washington. Infinity is our company.
I'm taller.
And there's a guy like him in Baltimore, and there's a guy like him in Philadelphia who we're going to be meeting with next week.
How are you?
That guy's name, I think it's Drew Hillis or Drew Carey, something. Now you gave it to me.
Yeah.
It's early in the show.
It's spreading.
There you go.
Get on. Get that right out to the fans, Rob. I just loogied it in the trash can.
And Chase Stevens.
And I'm Michael Hughes.
So, anyway, these guys are all essing bricks today because, well, you can see it if you go to any of the, like, radioandrecords.com or insideradio.com, any of the industry websites that are fronts for the newspapers in our business. You know, there's a guy that we've talked about, the guy that founded Infinity Broadcasting, the guy that hired Mike and I, Mike and me, 12 years ago, the great Mel Karmazin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give it up.
Yeah, 3 cheers for Mel. It's always great in Melville. Mm-hmm. Things are swell when you work for Mel.
Amen.
Anyway, there's apparently some type of fight at the top now with the stiff that's got the job.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's got the job as president of the radio division because the radio division's not making enough money.
Right.
And apparently, from what I'm reading, Mel's, as I mentioned to you yesterday, I was reading a part of this on the air, Mel's going to start going back to radio stations individually and kicking some ass.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't buy into this whole group thing.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not a big believer in the cluster.
Really?
Yeah, he's not
well,
a big believer. So there's got to be a lot of guys.
That's rather sudden.
There's got to be a lot of guys wetting their pants right now.
I would think so.
Because the company has changed its philosophy. Uh-huh. It used to be, you know, Infinity, like, for instance, in D.C., Infinity owns, like, 5 or 6 stations.
Yeah, and, hey, this is all new to me.
And we used to all fight against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in the last year, they've changed it, and we're all supposed to be working together. Uh-huh. Rather than have each radio station have its own separate rating, they go to the ad agencies and they say, well, if you buy Infinity Radio, they put all the stations together.
Right.
Synergy. Well, yes, synergy. Mm. Well, apparently that doesn't make as much money as when you have each station fighting against each other.
Eating their young.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a battle to survive. And anyway, what I'm reading, the scuttlebutt that I'm reading that anybody can read on any of these internet sites is that, you know, Mr. Karmazin is not a fan of this style of management.
Well, he's a guy that used to being down in the trenches. He knows he knows what it is to get out there and sell.
Right? So there's a lot of people in this company right now who maybe are walking on eggshells.
Ah.
So it'll be an interesting meeting that we have next Friday in Philly.
That'll be fascinating.
Not only are we going to be, oh, God, now I've got it real bad.
Yeah. I'll get mine at the end of the show.
Oh, that's the part I hated. You've been so sloppy.
Mm.
You don't like, your projectile is not, like, pointed when you expect
a splatter. But why swallow it back?
Right.
Because it's just going to come out later. Anyway, there's a lot of guys. We're going to meet one of these guys next week in Philadelphia next Friday.
That's a meeting that I just can't even believe that it's still happening.
Well, they haven't canceled it yet. We have plans to broadcast from WYSP next Friday. Chuck Barris coming up doing the show with us next Friday.
Right.
Live from YSP. And we're supposed to have a meeting with Tim. Of course, all of this was before the ratings came out.
Right.
We're supposed to have a meeting with Tim and the guy who is the cluster manager,
right,
for Infinity Radio in Philadelphia.
Interesting choice of words there.
So, yeah, because there's another word that everybody loves using after the word cluster.
Cluster. I use it rather regularly.
Anyway, it's an interesting dynamic. I like letting you know what's happening behind the scenes.
I didn't even know that myself, and I am very fascinated by it.
Oh, yes. Tongues are wagging. Tongues are wagging, and speculation is mounting.
You know, because we're the big supporters of the group concept. You know, we've been behind it from the very beginning.
Listen, I said this when they were talking at one point, talk that's been shelved now about putting all of the radio stations this company owns in the same building.
Good.
That's not a good idea.
No.
And I said that to these people. I said, it's really not a good idea. Well, but, you know, but why? We save money. We get synergy if all the stations are in the same building. I said, you put me and Mike in the same building working down the hall from the DJs that we're competing against, I guarantee we're going to go down there. we're going to be invading the other radio stations. We're going to be screwing with them while they're on the air.
Yeah, we're not. We've never done a show.
We don't
with the group building.
We don't play well with others.
No, we like to have our own, as you've said, sandbox and play in it. And we like to keep our toys where they are and leave us alone. We're not all that good with guys that are on our station.
So they've kind of abandoned that idea. They had abandoned that a while ago, that we were going to have to be with the other DJs. But now that apparently the corporate thinking is changing.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's what's amazing is that it's changing right after it changed.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like it's morphing right in front of your very ears.
It didn't last.
So it'd be very interesting. And, I want to move on with the show, but just one of the things I had to throw out as long as on the topic of being inside radio and everything else. I don't know who it is at WYSP. You know, listen, we came on the air and we said that we went from a 3.2 to a 2.3 in the ratings that were announced a couple of days ago. You know, our ratings in D.C. went up, our ratings in Baltimore went up. We had a bad book in Philly. The whole station had a bad book. But I found it very interesting when I was reading the day after the ratings came out.
Okay.
Now, let me just preface this by saying, when a station gets the Arbitron ratings, what you get is just a broad picture of the actual ratings. You don't get the ratings book itself for like a week.
Yeah.
Where you can break it down. I mean, you get a general picture. They say, okay, you went from this to this and this to this.
Yeah.
But you don't really get enough where you can nitpick and say, well, this is exactly where the audience went and this is who lost what. I found it very interesting to read in the Philadelphia Inquirer that WYSP had its one of its worst ratings books ever. And then right after that it said, in large part, because of the syndicated Don and Mike talk show, which lost 55% of its male audience. Now, I don't know if that fact is true or not, if we lost 55% of our male audience. It seems to me if we went down from a 3.2 to a 2.3, that the loss would be bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you've got to wonder which one of our, and I'm going to use my Dr. Evil quotes here, friends, you know, like Magma, which one of our friends at WYSP trying to cover their ass told that to the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I can only think of one person.
So can I.
Mm-hmm.
So can I. It's very interesting.
Perhaps we can find out when we go up there.
Oh, we will. Next Friday.
Well, of course, we probably won't.
But we'll ask.
We can always ask.
Just that, you know, I've never met a reporter, especially a radio reporter, that's a real reporter.
Right.
It's always a guy who, like, writes obituaries or writes about new exhibits at the zoo.
And
who
vomits out whatever, you know, is spoon-fed to him over a fax machine.
Yeah, who over on the side, you know, they go, oh, yeah, oh, and incidentally, you're writing the radio column. So he'll call around the radio stations. And anyway, somebody at YSP just knifed us in the friggin' back.
Yeah, right.
Because we are stand-up guys. Like I said to Tim the other day, it was a bad book in Philly. We'll take our lumps for it.
Amen.
But, listen, you can't blame us for the fact that the whole radio station went down Monday through Sunday, 24 hours a day.
Right, yeah.
I mean, we're only on 20 hours a week.
Amen.
We can only F up 3 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Yeah, and it just it's interesting how, you know, how that reporter would have gotten that information.
Well,
how that reporter would have spun it the way it was spun.
Yeah.
Well, the reporter didn't spin it.
Right. The reporter had somebody inside who's spinning it like that.
Mm.
You know, I'm not saying that we didn't have a bad book, but Jesus Christ. I mean, to read the Philadelphia Inquirer, you would think the reason that the station's the Titanic and the end that's going in the water is us.
Mm-hmm.
We only been on the afternoon show for 6 months.
And it is just more motivation to do beautifully in Philadelphia, which we're going to do. And I have total confidence in that, the word.
So anyway, it continues now. Mike, you said it yesterday that you wished if Tim Sabian, our program director in Philadelphia, supported the show, he would call.
Yeah.
He didn't call. I'm going to make it easier and say, Tim, just email me.
Mm-hmm.
Just email me. Email me even if you're pissed that we keep talking about this.
Yeah. I'd like to get a little feedback, but I doubt it'll happen.
I mean, just email me. I'll probably read it on the air, but just email me. Even if you just email me something like, shut up.
You won't read it on the air if he asks you not to.
Maybe.
No, you never. You don't.
No, you're right.
It's your thing. You don't do it.
But I will say that he emailed though.
Right.
But if you absolutely write on the top of the email not to be read on air, I promise on my kid's life I won't read it on the air. But I'll let Mike see it. I'll let Buzz see it. I'll let Rob see it.
And I'll talk about it.
Yeah.
I always paraphrase.
Anyway, it's an interesting dynamic we have going on.
It is strange that I really, in a very weird way, I dig it. Because it is always nice to have a challenge. It is always nice to come from behind to
well,
really yell.
There
thank
you go
Rob.
Again. There you go again.
You know, I like that.
Sure is. There you go again, Mr. Anal.
And I have a strange, quiet confidence about Philadelphia. It's based on the people up there, and I really feel that we are a fit for that city, and I'm excited about it.
They better make it happen real fast.
But you know, I mean, once again, we are.
The more we talk about it, the more we're digging our own grave. The more we're setting the bar even higher.
Yeah. I don't care. I have confidence in this show, and I have confidence in Philadelphia, and I know how we do up there, and I know the vibe that we get when we're up there. And
hello.
So, you know, that's it.
Man. Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Anyway, hello. I just like
afternoon, Don and Mike.
I like just pulling back the curtain once in a while so you
I
guys
think it's great. Right. I think
what's
really
going on.
And you know, the city of brotherly love is, I think, a city that can certainly appreciate a struggle and the fact that we are making this public and we are making our situation known. And I think people will get into that. I really do. I think people will dig that.
Hey, listen, you're the last call because we got a break. What can we do for you?
Good afternoon, Don and Mike.
Yes, what can we do for you?
Yeah, I had a suggestion for your poker game tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, have Jay Stevens walk around wearing a big Mexican hat. You can put chip and dip in it.
Ah, that'd be the salsa boy. I got you.
Fantastic.
Hello there, Don and Mike. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Speak to us. You're on the air. Let's clear the lines out after this guy is on the air. Hi.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Hey, I just let you guys know that you guys and Howard are the only two things on the station. I listen in Philly all YSP, and I just want to let you guys know that the rest of the radio music programming sucks all day long.
We have no comment on the box of records that Tim is playing. We're just commenting on the fact that we're being made out as, you know, the anchor. And,
well, you guys are the anchor, but you're the only thing holding it afloat right
Thank
now.
Thank you. You're part of our legacy, my friend, as Tim likes saying to me the other day. I'm just worried about your legacy. Yeah.
Legacy.
Thank you, my friend. Let's clear the line.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Get a call number 100.
Sorry, you're welcome.
The jackpot, $500. Phone number 877-365-3636. Call 100 right now. Good luck.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show. All techniques into one. The Don and Mike Show. 8.
Gotta remind me that my brother Jimmy called me last night.
And how is Jimmy doing?
We'll need a whole segment to get into that.
Really?
Also, this program, I know a lot of you thought we forgot about it. But what with the popularity of American Idol, they finally got rid of the girl who has all the zits on the side of her face last night, the blonde girl.
My goofy-looking guy that everybody says is gay is hanging in there.
The white guy?
Clay Aiken.
Yuck. I think we all know that the fat black guy's going to win.
Reuben Studdard.
He's got the best word. Anyway, with the excitement of American Idol, remember a while ago we had our contest, American Idiot?
Yeah.
Well, we got a winner.
We do?
Yeah, as voted by that faulty internet system.
Yes.
We finally got an actual total of people who voted.
We're going to finally have the outdoor concert?
Next week.
Very good.
Next week. The winner is coming in. It'll be a surprise. We're going to call the person and tell them you won the Don and Mike American Idiot Contest, and they'll be outside doing a wonderful a medley of bad songs.
Fantastic.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, it's call it 100.
Yes, that's you, my friend. What's your name?
Tom.
Tom, where are you from?
Leesburg.
Tom, are you ready? Hold
yeah.
on. You're going to 1, 2, 3, 4 concerts.
Wow.
You'll see... hey, thanks, Buzz. I appreciate that.
That's a lot.
You'll see Santana, Saturday, June 14. You'll see Chicago on June 3. P. Peter Gabriel, Sunday, June 22.
Whoa.
Boston, whoa. Saturday, June 21.
Whoa.
All shows at Nissan Pavilion. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster outlets at NissanPavilion.com. So you'll go see Boston, Pete Gabriel, Chicago, and Santana.
Unbelievable.
Enjoy, my friend, and thanks for listening. Now, you're going to play for $500 with the world-famous secret sound. It's a common everyday sound, and here are your clues. Yellow. 16.
16.
Yellow and 16. That's almost like a... Before he got engaged, that was the criteria for girls that Charlie Broyhill liked dating. He had a big thing for Asians.
Ah.
Oh, hello, Charlie.
Oh, Misa Charlie. Bloy here.
Charlie, you the producer for Ronald Rice, yo.
Charlie, Bloy here.
Okay, here you go. We'll play the sound now. We'll give you 15 seconds to noodle it through. Please don't answer till Mike sings like...
Half a dollar.
50 cent?
There you go.
I love me the 50 cent. Good luck, my friend.
Dollar.
All right.
Name this sound.
Here we go. There's the sound. And I can only imagine what you're going to do with, as I like calling him, five dimes. Two quarters. 10 nickels. 50 cent.
I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug if you're into getting rubbed.
Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
4 bits right there.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Yeah.
For 500 American dollars, what is that sound?
That sound is the unmistakable sound of opening a fresh can of cheese balls.
Well, I give you credit that that's...
Oh, we're sorry.
That's a good guess, but it's absolutely 100% wrong.
Right.
Thank you, Dylan. Don't forget that every guess is a clue for you. Well, he had a week off for Easter. Who knew that God was a fan of nudity in films?
Yeah, somehow Easter and this man don't go together.
He's back with us today from the world's greatest website, www.mrskin.com. Here's Jim McBride, known to many of you simply as Mr. Skin. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. I just felt too dirty to do nudity and Easter at the same time.
No, that's good. You got to do what you got to do, Jim.
Jim, let me see. I know there are a bunch of movies that are open. And listen, if you don't know the website, it's MrSkin.com. It's great for guys, yeah, and I guess for lesbians, because what you do is you go there and you type in an actress's name, and immediately, through Jim's database, it tells you any nude scenes the actress has been in, and then you get to see the pictures, and he actually tells you, like, if you rent a movie, if you want to see, for instance, my girl, Elizabeth Hurley, you want to see her topless, he tells you exactly where in the movie. You don't have to watch the whole movie. You just go, for instance, to 47 minutes and 30 seconds.
And you can see a picture on his website.
Yeah, you see the pictures and or the video clips. We're very thorough. We're very thorough.
Yeah, constantly updating, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing about this gig is that people, you know, this is like, I guess it's like prostitution and alcohol. It's never going to go away.
Right.
Because you figure they're never going to stop having nudity in movies. So the thing is, I'm not only trying to track all the nudity, you know, female nudity in the history of movies, but every day, every week, every month, there's new movies that come out with nudity. So we got to keep abreast of those things.
Yeah,
so.
But Jimmy, aren't they really trying not to have as much nudity? I mean, in the regular movie theaters now.
Yeah, it's there's this big wave that we're in a PG-13 era because those are the movies that make all the money.
Mm-hmm.
So especially in the summer, it's tough. Like I'll go on your guys' show and I blow by the theater releases to get to the DVDs because everything's teen comedy stuff. Now, back in the day, in the 70s and 80s, the teen movies had great nudity, but for some reason, the pendulum has shifted to non-nudity. You can blow guys' heads off or murder people, and that's PG, but if there is a nip slip, then all of a sudden it's an R-rated movie.
Right. I love it when you get political on our ass.
I'm behind him 1,000%.
Let me get off my soapbox.
No.
Actually, at the theater this weekend, there's actually a couple of good movies for nudity.
Really?
Yeah. Well, first, a movie, and I think you guys will like this if you have a chance to go see it. The movie's called Confidence. Confidence. It stars Dustin Hoffman and Ed Burns, and it opens in theaters tomorrow.
That doesn't look bad. That looks like a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it actually is. And, you know, I liked it, but I mean, I'm looking at real critics, and you know, that aren't looking at it for the nudity, and, right. and they loved it. I'm seeing 3 and 4 stars all over the place. So, in this movie, like, Ed Burns plays this grifter who, I guess his last scam kind of backfires, and it leaves him in debt to Dustin Hoffman, who's a mob boss, and it's actually, like I said, really good, but there's two things. One, a babe I'm really into, I don't know if you guys know her, her name's Rachel Weisz, she's from the UK, she was in Stealing Beauty with Liv Tyler, and she's been in a number of movies, but she has a scene with Ed Burns where she's in her bra in bed with Ed Burns, which is pretty hot, but the real good nude scene is from a babe named Tammy Sheffield, who I turned you guys on to her a couple of weeks ago. She was the babe in Cheerleader Massacre, the Robo Hooters, where we were just, you know, great. We don't care about that movie. We just wanted to look at her breasts.
Great scene. It's really great.
Yeah, and it's funny because she's, you know, she's becoming one of my favorite B-movie babes. You know, every about 3 or 4 years, there's the new Shannon Tweed hits, and she's becoming kind of popular. She's had a string of, you know, great nude scenes in B-movies lately. And this is her first foray into mainstream movies. And it's funny, she's on screen for about 2 minutes, of which, you know, 1 minute and 59 seconds, she's topless.
There you go.
It's a nice debut for Tammy Sheffield. So you see her naked in this movie, Confident.
Great. Finally, some real nudity in the real movie theaters.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then there's another movie that you might have seen advertised on TV that opens tomorrow called The Real Cancun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't really call this a movie because really it's more like, you know, the MTV Real World. It's
right.
actually done by those guys. And what they did is they went and interviewed a ton of college students, and they picked, I think it was eight boys and girls, and they ended up with 16 people living
boys
in this house
and,
in Cancun for spring break. Now, I want to stress, this movie is opening tomorrow. This isn't spring break 2002. This is spring break from last month. So to give you an idea of the production value of this movie, it is already in theaters, and they really did it over spring break.
So it's a real rush job, but the question is, are there lots of topless and bottomless girls?
It's just like watching almost like a Girls Gone Wild tape, because, you know, but they have some subplots and things, but you really don't care about it. It's just, you know, there's no celebrities. There's just a bunch of college chicks getting naked, but I'm not complaining. If you like skin, there's definitely tons in this, bikinis and nudity.
I've seen the trailer for it. It looks pretty intense.
Finally! You know, listen, that, you know, back in the day, like you said, that worked,
right?
I bet that movie makes a ton of money. Mm-hmm.
People are already talking about that movie.
Well, they didn't have to spend a lot of dough making it, so hopefully, yeah, we'll see. It'd be good. I'm just happy to have a little time on your show to talk about theater nudity. That's the good news.
Absolutely.
So.
And again, Jim, it's a nice tip in that you had the girl on the show a couple of weeks ago in the B-rated movie, the cheerleader movie.
Yeah.
And now everybody can go see her in the Dustin Hoffman movie, and she has just. They're fake, but you don't care that they're
sometimes
fake.
You don't mind fake ones, and in her case, you know, because she's blonde and everything else on her is hot. It's just, and she did them right. I mean, if you're going to get fake ones, go big, and they actually have a tiny bit of sag to them, so
right.
they don't look too robo-hooterish, you know what I mean? So she looks great. You're a man that
knows your fake breasts, Jim.
Yeah. I hate the ones where they defy gravity and point straight up.
I do, too. I hate them.
All right, but hers are good. But there are some DVDs I wanted to mention to you guys. All this at the new release section of your favorite video store. There's a movie called The Believer, which was in theaters briefly last year. It is now out on DVD. It stars Summer Phoenix. Now, Summer Phoenix is the youngest sister of River and Joaquin Phoenix, and there was another sister, Rainbow Phoenix, and some other, you know, they got all these kids. Well, she's the youngest one, and I think she's probably the hottest babe in the family. And in this movie, Summer Phoenix, you see the boys of summer, I guess, a couple of times, two times you get some nice breast shots, and she kind of has the party hat looking breasts, which is...
I wish I could comment on it on my screen. All I have, I see the upcoming stuff, but...
Is that the one he was talking about a minute ago?
Yeah, this is Tammy Sheffield.
Oh, you're looking at Tammy, yeah.
Cheerleader Massacre.
Hi, Tammy.
I can't pull up the other one that you just mentioned, but... She's in what movie?
Summer Phoenix in the movie The Believer, and you get some nice topless shots of Summer and in this. And her, Summers are real, so you can enjoy those. They look great.
All right, now the next one I've got on my screen is Ed and His Dead Mother, which is incidentally an awful movie that I've seen. Is this the movie with Steve Buscemi?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
They're releasing this. It's Ed and His Dead Mother. It's a 1993 horror comedy that stars Steve Buscemi, and it's one of the few times Steve Buscemi was the main character in the movie. It's he's usually a great bit player. In this movie, the reason that, from a skin standpoint, that I'm excited they're releasing it on DVD is the fact that Sam Jenkins is the girl. Now, you guys know if you watch Chicago Hope, she was on that briefly, but she's probably best known for being Kevin Sorbo's wife. He's Hercules.
Okay, on TV, right?
Yeah, the real-life wife, not TV, but real-life wife. And she's super hot, and in this movie, about 16 minutes in, there's a scene where Ned Beatty, who his character name in this is Uncle Benny, he spies on her through the window, and you get a great shot of her from the rear naked and some breast shots.
You know, ever since Deliverance, old Ned couldn't get the roles.
And besides the nudity, and I'm glad that you got this, because, Jim, I'm probably one of the only guys in America that's seen Ed and His Dead Mother. It's not a bad movie. Like, the mom lives in the refrigerator after she comes back from the dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a comedy horror.
Because the guy comes in the door and a salesman says, I can sell you your mother. And Steve Buscemi says, well, my mom is dead. So he signs the contract. The next thing you know, his mom's alive, and she lives in the refrigerator.
So not a bad movie.
Not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad, but the nudity's great. And Sam Jenkins, I get a lot of...
She's hot.
Yeah, she's definitely hot. Hey, she got Kevin Sorbo, so she can't be all that bad, right? And finally, the last thing I wanted to mention to you guys, this is not a new release, but... This past week, we redid the pictures we have of Rene Russo from the Thomas Crown Affair. And I was looking at him, and it just, we haven't talked about this in probably all the time I've ever been on your show, and I just wanted to bring this up this week. In the movie The Thomas Crown Affair, Rene Russo was 45 years old. She does a scene, she has a sex scene with Pierce Bronson about an hour in, a sweaty, drunken sex scene that you get a great view of her breasts, but then another scene where she's laying topless out at the beach, and I got to say, I'm all for nudity by actresses of all ages. I don't want it only to be 23-year-olds with fake breasts. And in her case, just how great she looked at 45 years old.
There you go. Yeah. Absolutely, she does. Anyway. She looks incredible.
The still we're looking at right now, she's laying down, and she, the picture's saying, "Please fitty tuck me." I think there's a second one as well. Let me click on that one. Oh, the one where she's just.
I mean. Man.
Where she's just sunning herself.
Looks fantastic.
But, I mean, would you guess if you didn't know she was 45, there's no way.
No way.
I mean, they're not gigantic, but they're perky.
They are wonderful.
And she's got big nipples. And my
delightful.
Here's River Phoenix's sister, Summer. There's the picture that we...
Yeah, a little party hat. If she's got a kind of a point. Not to write the point.
You're killing me. That's right. They're party hat breasts.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Party at the Phoenix household.
Party hat. So funny.
Well, Jim, you're great. Hold on. You got time for some calls?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the phones. So that's the stuff that's new this week. And really, I know Rene Russo. A lot of you guys, she's an old bag. Maybe you've only seen her in the Lethal Weapon movies or in Tin Cup.
Right.
But, man... Jim's right. She's got it together.
And outside of the nudity, there's one movie. I think it might be the same. It might be the Thomas Crown Affair, or it might be another movie she was in, where she comes downstairs in a pair of jeans, and nobody looks better in a pair of jeans.
Yeah, it might be Get Shorty you're thinking of.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. She looked incredible. Yeah.
Hey, Paul, you're on with Mr. Skin. Paul.
How you doing, Donna Mike?
We're doing great.
Mr. Skin, in the early 80s, Dale Bozio from Missing Persons, the band, was in a movie, and I can't think of the movie's name. I think she was even naked in it.
Who's the girl?
Dale Bozio from the band Missing Persons.
No, she's never done a nude scene.
Well, do you remember the name of the movie?
I'm not sure the name of the movie, but I know she's never done a nude scene.
No. Okay, thank you very much.
Nice death. That would have been nice, but she's never been naked.
All right, thank you. Hello, Lexi. You're on with Mr. Skin.
Hey, Lexi. Hey, Donna Mike. It's Lexi. How are you?
Hi, Lexi.
What's going on? Do you remember me?
Sure.
I'm the singer.
Oh, from American Idiot, right.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hi, you got something for Mr. Skin?
No, I have something for you.
All right, now, hold on a second. Jeff, you're on the air with Mr. Skin.
Hey, Mr. Skin, what do you know about a movie called the Bear Winch Project?
Well, it's just a bazillion B-movie babes naked. It's a take-up on the Bear Witch Project.
Right.
And, you know, it's like the softcore version. You know how all the porn movies do take-offs like Schindler's Fist and stuff like that? Well, they did the softcore version. It's just all the B-movie stars, like about 20 of them, I shouldn't say that. There's a ton, and they are out in the woods and naked. It's cool. We have pics and clips at the site. It's not a movie you watch for the plot, let's put it that way.
Gotcha. Hello, Chad. You're on with Jim with Mr. Skin.
Hey, thanks. I remember there being this really hot chick in that Umberto Eco's In the Name of the Rose.
Man, I'm sorry?
Man, you people are really getting a bit here at this.
Hey, he can handle it.
No. What's he?
Sean Connery was in a movie called In the Name of the Rose.
In the Name of the Rose?
I think The Name of the Rose, right?
The Name of the Rose. Umberto Eco book.
Yeah, well, what's the question?
This girl, she kept seducing the monks. And Sean Connery was in the movie, and...
Wow, we're really... Yeah, but I know,
if you have a name and if she's been nude, I could help you. I'm not sure who you're referring to.
I know what movie he's talking about, and it's a like a village girl that seduces monks, and she is... Hot. I don't remember her name.
Hello, Gene. You're on with Mr. Skin.
Yeah, there was a movie with Lawrence Fishburne and Eileen Barkin, I think was her name, a couple of years
Ellen
ago.
Ellen Barkin. Ellen, yeah.
Ellen Barkin. A couple of years ago, there was a scene where the two of them were getting it on.
And the question is?
She looked quite naked from the... Well, she lifted her dress up. She looked quite naked.
We actually have... In that movie, there's a scene where... I know what you're referring to, where she's... We've analyzed this at the Mr. Skin Laboratories, where she has a red dress on. As she lifts her leg over, it appears to be a bush on, and we've had a bunch of debates about that. We can't tell if it's bush or like some sort of a panty underneath. It's real tough to tell, but I know what you're talking about, and the answer is it's inskinclusive. We don't have an answer on that.
Hey, Mr. Skin, I have a question for you. Like that last caller, if somebody sees a movie, remembers the movie, but doesn't remember the name of the actress, can they pop in the movie on your site?
It's all cross-referenceable. Like, even if you don't know, like if it's a TV show, like you saw Babe on a TV show, mm-hmm. You can search the TV show and we'll tell you every movie, every actress from that TV show that's done a skin scene.
I just found the Ellen Barkin pictures he was talking about. The movie is Bad Company, and I think it's panties.
Actually, a lot of people here think it's some bashish, so it's there's a big debate. It's inconclusive, though.
All right, one more call for Mr. Skid. Hey, you're on with Jim. Hi.
Don and Mike, Radio Deity.
Sean,
hey,
hi.
There's a picture on your site with a girl with a lollipop. I think you know what I'm talking about, and I can't find it for the life of me. Who is that girl?
Alicia Class, center of the world.
I've been trying to find it after the first time, and I haven't had it.
Alicia Class, center of the world.
Wow. There you go.
You'll never look at a pussy pop again the same way.
All right, your question has been answered. Jim, thanks for talking to our challenge listeners today with those questions. The new stuff at the theaters is great. The pictures were great that you turned us on to. And the website, again, we got to recommend. We give it two penises up.
Yeah, three thumbs up, if you will.
There you go.
www.mrskin.com. Thanks, Jim. We'll see you next week.
Okay, take care.
All right, dude. Bye-bye. He's really good. Even though the questions are really bad.
Yeah, and I was just curious when we had that Name of the Rose thing. Now, I can't stop thinking about it because I know the girl he's talking about, and she is a turbo hottie, and I think it's like when it takes place in like ancient times.
Lexi, are you still there?
I'm here, babe.
Yeah. What did you want, honey?
I want to come on and sing a few songs in reference to the American Idiot. I didn't win. I'm a professional. Let me come on and sing a few songs for you.
Now, Lexi, now that was the whole point of the American Idiot contest that you were on. You did your karaoke, and the listeners voted. And how do you know you didn't win?
Well, because the other people that were in the running, they had so many other votes, and you know, they were very entertaining.
If you remember, we had people hacking into the computers. And we had to go back and we had to unhack it, and then we left it up for a while, and then we figured out who was hacking and who wasn't hacking, and we actually have a winner. Lexi, maybe we'll announce the winner today. I'll get Lisa or Charlie to bring me the name, because it might be you.
And if it's not, can I come up and sing?
No.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jesus
Christ.
Wow. Yeah. Hi, listen, I miss Georgia, and I got kicked out in the first round, but can I come back when they crown Miss America just to be on stage?
Can I walk next to her when she's doing her walk around the runway?
I'm the broad from American Idol last night with the zits on the side of my face. Mm-hmm. And I know that I made it all the way to the finals, and I'm not going to win, and I got kicked off. But can I come back on the final episode to sing with the guy who wins?
Can I sing right after he sings?
Right.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's all we had when I was a kid, Robitussin. No matter what you got, Robitussin better handle it. Daddy, I got asthma, Robitussin. I got cancer, Robitussin. I broke my leg, Daddy poured Robitussin on it. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get in there, boy. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get on down to the bone. Yeah, the tussin ought to straighten out the bone. It's good. If you run out of tussin, put some water in the jar, shake it up, more tussin. More tussin.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Fantastic.
You're excellent. How are you?
We just went to a funeral and it really cheered us up.
If you add enough Broyhill, it makes it taste good. The Don and Mike Show.
Want to talk to Chris, the loser from Seattle?
Absolutely. It's been a long time. I'm in the mood for that.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hey, you're up today.
Wow. Wow. I just got paid.
Wait, hold on. Stop beeping the telephone.
Oh, I had to turn up. I'm on a payphone. I'm up here in South Hill. I just went shopping for your shorts because I got my money today.
You got paid?
Yeah.
You get your Walmart money?
No, I got my money from my uncle because I don't work at Walmart.
Where were you working now?
My uncle, Tedder's Roofing, he owns his roofing company. He's owned it for a long time. My dad taught him how to roof when I was probably before I was born, and then Jim started doing it.
What happened to the Walmart gig?
I mean, I got fired because I listened to your show, and some lady said, oh, you have to turn that down because I usually listen to the radio instead of Walmart music.
Walmart music.
Walmart music. So your roof...
Walmart music, and all they play is songs from Fleetwood Mac and Pink Floyd. That's all they play.
They don't play Pink Floyd in Walmart, do they?
Sure they do.
They love and learn how to fly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you kidding?
They don't play the versions of... That you're familiar with.
Oh, they play the Muzak version. Oh.
You know, they play all the popular ones from Pink Floyd. They don't play, like, the Division Bell song.
All right, I'm going to give you a David Letterman joke, okay? You're a roofer, right?
Well, I drive a dump truck.
All right, make sure you don't get the shingles. Thank you. That's a timely joke.
I know.
You drive a dump truck?
Yeah. Oh. It's a little Iveco, like a Mitsubishi one.
Huh. So how are you liking the open road?
Good. I only go to Tukwila to the dump and rent in the one on 167.
And you mentioned you got paid and you went out and you bought shorts?
I bought shorts. I was looking for Ralph Lauren's, but they came down too long because I have a 26-inch inseam on my legs.
Yes.
And my legs are kind of big, so I had to go get a stretch.
Yeah, Rob, I'm confused. What do you mean you have a 26-inch inseam?
My inseam from my balls to my ankle is like 26 inches.
Right. He's short.
Yeah, I'm short.
Short legs.
Should that affect shorts, really?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
No, what he's saying, I'm sad to say that I...
You're tracking with him. Please explain to me.
If you buy, like, Ralph Lauren shorts...
Yeah. They're really long, Don. They yes, come down past all, my calf.
They come past the calf?
They
well, if
like
you're short...
Yeah.
If you're...
How tall is Chris?
I'm 5'7½".
Okay.
And so if it's from his ankle to his balls... Only 26 inches. That's only 2 feet and 2 inches.
So he'd have to wear, like, to get normal size shorts, he'd have to buy the Richard Simmons kind of shorts.
So, and when...
Or he'd have to get shorts like the guy in AC/DC wears.
Like Angus Young?
Yeah. I have the same problem in a different way, where, you know, you want your shorts to come down to just about over your knee, right? I mean,
yeah.
And sometimes when you buy them, and they're too short, and you ever see guys, there's this guy that is, that's one of these Marlon Perkins, wildlife, Steve Irwin guys.
Jack Hanna type guy?
Yeah, and he goes on the shows. He's like a second-tier crocodile hunter, but he wears these shorts that are ridiculously short.
Well,
they're
Walmart,
just an inch too short.
Walmart said that we have to come down 2 inches past our kneecap, but then I told them I can't wear any like that because my mom, when I was going to school, my mom, she always hemmed up my pants, and she would have to buy, like, whatever my waist size, and then, you know, however the length, then she had to cut off, like, sometimes 8 or 9 inches because they were too long.
What is it when you buy a regular pair of pants, what are your measurements?
Well, I used to be a 40, but now I'm a 38. I've been losing freight from, or losing pounds from humping freight.
Chris DeVito.
And what's,
like Danny DeVito.
Are you like a 38-29?
No, I'm like a 38-26.
38-26.
Yeah.
It has that clown size.
That's because I can't...
Hold on, Chris. I'm getting a recon about you on other stations.
Oh, dear.
Although, I don't care. He calls so infrequently now. I don't care, but people love busting him.
Yeah.
Brian in Seattle?
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Don and Mike, Chris did an intro on Cairo 2 weeks ago while BJ was on vacation. He called Cairo and did a... song and dance with them, like one of your guys does when he drops the name. He dropped BJ's name and Brad the producer and his girlfriend, Sweetie Bear.
What he called Cairo?
All yeah, right. And so. then he went on BJ's show and had them play the tape live over the air while you guys were on vacation.
All right, well, he's never taken our challenge of it be exclusively ours or
no,
go away.
Listen to that.
No, and the problem is, he's hard to discipline because we're not in Seattle physically.
Yeah, and that we don't get a lot of reports on him, but when he calls in, people bust him all the time.
He's not like Murphy or Gavin, you know, where we can rein them in.
We don't own him.
Danielle from Seattle. Danielle.
Hello.
Hi there.
I was just busting him also. I heard him on, we're talking to Brad one day while you guys were on vacation, and he was upset when they tried to say his name. He's like, no, I'm Shane. And it was pretty comical. I, of course, then I couldn't get a hold of you guys.
So he's trying to cheat on us without us finding out.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
And now here is Will from Seattle. Will.
Goodness.
Yeah, I just want to know how come Chris talks like that on your show, but then when I heard him on BJ say, he talked like a normal dude.
Oh.
You know, he talks all retarded on your show.
All right. Oh. Here is Rusty in Spokane. Rusty.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
I just want to know, you know, I don't know if he's lying about whatever, but how'd he get, got a lot of time on his hands.
I have a theory about Chris.
He's driving dump trucks, he's working at Walmart.
The tard talk in our show. Yeah, big time.
Well, I always have a theory that I stuck to. My grandparents told me this years ago. Never trust a person with freakishly short legs.
Well, all I know is that he's on the phone, and every single line now is lit up with people.
I want to hear more from
Seattle who want to bust him.
If you don't mind, I want to hear more about him talking in a normal voice on other shows. Because
we're going to have to wait for those calls to come through. Because now all the calls are just people saying that he was on Cairo.
And we'll ask him if he sounded different. If he talked different.
All right, we'll let those calls come through. Let him know. Now, we got to wait a second.
Nothing like a good conspiracy.
For Joe to screen through these. Meanwhile, let's say hello to Brian, the drunk Eagles guy from Philly.
Hey.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey, dude.
What's going on, man?
You know, long time no speak.
Yeah, dude, you know, I tried calling numerous times, man. I was always put on hold, man.
Well, I never saw you up on the screen. What are you doing in non-football season?
Oh, I'm all about the Sixers and the Flyers, man.
Yeah, you have a pretty good sports year up in Philadelphia.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations on those Flyers winning that series.
Yeah, I get my license back in 30 days and counting.
Absolutely. Are you ready? Even though it's the off season, the draft is this weekend. You want to give us some of the Eagles fight song?
Yeah, I'll sing it for you guys.
All right, go ahead.
My friend Artie is here too. He'll sing it with me.
Hey, before you sing, what's your in scene?
My what?
No, don't worry about it.
All right, go ahead, Brian.
Fly, Eagles, fly. On the road to victory, fly, Eagles, fly. Score a touchdown, 1, 2, 3. Hit them low, hit them high, and watch our Eagles fly. Fly, Eagles, fly.
Painful.
On the road to victory.
E-A-G-L-E-S,
Eagles.
Excellent job.
Yeah, you guys coming to Philly next week?
We're going to be there next Friday to have the showdown with the program director.
Yeah, you want to come out to lunch with us?
Yeah, dude, no doubt, man. Let's get drunk.
Wouldn't that be great if we sent him? We said, we've decided we can't make the meeting, but we're sending our representative.
Yeah,
I'll be here, man.
Brian will be lunching with the new Muckety Muck and Tim.
Yeah, I'll give you guys a couple more dollars. You know, I know you guys are millionaires.
Especially if it's at that Chinese restaurant Tim likes so much.
How great would it be, really, if we got Brian to wear his face paint?
Right.
And really, we set the meeting up with Tim, and then we sent this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd do it. I swear to Christ I'd do it.
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Hey, Brian, hold on. Would you really do that for us?
And
would you
wear, I would. Without a doubt, I'd definitely do it.
And would you wear the whole Eagles face paint thing?
Oh, yeah, face paint. I'll wear my little number one thing again, too, like
very
last
good.
Time.
Okay, hold on a second. Boy. That'll send him over the edge.
Amen.
Now, hold on. That was Philadelphia, right, where we have some problems. Seattle, we have no problems.
No.
And as a matter of fact, the ratings for Seattle, I think, come out next week. We'll let you know. We're expecting a big book in Seattle.
The whole Chris issue, and I don't talk about it because I like Chris. I just kind of like the way he sounds. But mm-hmm. I've always wondered about this whole, you know, and then I did this thing. Yeah. I've always thought it might be a scam.
You ask Mike, and here now are more people ready to indict Chris, the loser. Gabe.
Why?
Yes, sir. What's up, fellas?
All right. What do you know about Chris?
Last Saturday, I heard him on a cooking show on the Cairo, and he was asking about, have you guys ever heard of doodles?
Heard of what?
He explained it like they're supposed to be some kind of bean patty or something. Doodies.
He sounded
like he had a regular voice, you know.
You ever heard of doodies before? All right, here is somebody else from Seattle. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, what's up? This is Justin from Seattle.
Hi there, Justin.
I just want to say that Chris, for one, does not represent all of us from Seattle.
we know that.
Buzz, I'd like to invite you out to the great green state of Washington.
Ah.
You're out this way.
It's growing season.
And I'd also like to congratulate you BM eaters on your last 24 hours of vacation time.
Stop it. That joke's over. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey, calling from Seattle, are you?
Yeah, correct. This guy is all over the place. About a month ago, he was on Bob and Tom. Have you ever heard of them?
Sure.
Right.
And he was saying that Joe's a pussy and Howard Stern says you're a fat ass.
All right, that's not a real
or was that...
That was a scam.
Yeah, okay. That call was a scam.
Ouch! Ow, man!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he got us.
You got me. Oh, there's...
And then he hangs up.
Splatter everywhere.
We're bleeding.
Oh, God, I gotta tell you, I get cut to the quick.
Now, was that a legitimate Seattle call?
No, I don't think so. When some punster calls in like that,
right,
when I get some terrorist call like that, ouch!
Yeah,
oh, man, Robbie, would you give me a Band-Aid for my ego? Because I'm bleeding all over the
place. Don, do you think you can continue?
he really gave me a Band-Aid.
Like a little kid's Band-Aid. That's pretty funny.
Robbie, you know where my ego is.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Hey, Don?
Yeah.
Rob, do you have another Band-Aid?
I do.
Okay.
Oh, do you want this one?
I mean, you can use that one to do it. I really need a Band-Aid.
Oh.
He's got one for you,
thank
too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, honey.
Hello there. Don and Mike's show.
Gentlemen.
Yes, hi.
I must compliment Don. You are the best storyteller. I love listening to you, regardless of if you rant.
Were you going
to
put the Band-Aid on your wet thing? Is that where you were going to put it?
That's where my ego is. My penis. Hello.
But most of all, I need to bust Chris, or should I say Shane Bott, to anyone who lives in Washington State.
Shane Bott?
Shane Bott, yes. This is the name that BJ Shea has nicknamed him because he's been on the show so often.
All right. Thank you, my
friend. Yes, and he does not sound like the retard that he comes across on your show.
So he uses a different name.
Big point.
See, the thing is, and here's, I think, what I like about the guy, Chris, is that at least the act that he's putting on our show reminds me in a way of my brother. Although my brother doesn't have that same, and then you know what happened. But it's very similar. Now, I know for a fact the stuff with my brother is real.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my brother on the show tomorrow to tell you the latest chapter.
You have a look on your face that tells me your brother's been living life lately.
Well, let me just say, I know that guy who calls all the time and says my brother is black.
Yes.
Is going to call tomorrow.
Okay.
When I tell you the latest saga.
Really?
Of my brother Jim.
Fascinating.
It involves another illegitimate child.
Just do that.
Well, I'm thinking how much I actually want to say.
Yeah, I understand.
Because there's some that he
Wait, did you say what you just said?
Another illegitimate
Are
child.
You S-ing me?
No.
Another one.
Wow.
Like, recently?
How many does that mean?
Like, he's impregnated or another
this
child
is
that's,
one,
like, in the world?
This is one that he's, that's 6 years old, that only recently he's found out about.
Wow.
Oh, I can't wait to talk
small
to him.
World.
And it was...
And I know. I thought you, did you get mad?
Yeah, and I double got mad because it's the girl who, I don't even know if I told you this because it's awful about my brother, who's really is a sweet guy.
Yeah.
And very nonviolent, but one night, the girl that, this baby's mama, I don't think I ever talked about this on the air. They got into a fight and she wanted to leave. And did I ever tell you this, that my brother tied her to a chair using
phone cord?
Using the phone cord.
Yeah, and they were like in a court case and
yeah,
stuff, right?
Well, it's her. And as it turns out, this is the girl who then, after he tied her to the chair with the phone cord, apparently she had a baby after that. And now...
Oh, my God. Wow.
And he was in court about that yesterday.
Oh, dear.
But I want to save that for when he calls.
All right, just so I know, just before we move on, that means how many kids?
Yeah.
Legitimate, 2.
Right.
Illegitimate, I believe the count is up to 4.
Oh, man.
Hello.
Jeez.
Don and Mike. Hello.
He's blind.
Body.
And listen, 2 more. And it's going to be 8 is enough for my brother.
Man.
Magic in the early morning.
This is, of course, the theme to 8 is enough.
The fabulous theme. Dick Van Patten,
hello.
8 is enough.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Hey, I'm calling from Seattle. I hear Chris all the time. He calls not only the BJ Shea show, but just about every show that you can hear. And, yeah, he does talk normal. It's not that hard because, you know what? Because, see, it's not that hard to do.
Right, okay.
He does it all the time.
All right.
Thank you.
Are you so sure he's not just pretending to be smart on the other shows and he's actually stupid?
Yeah, you know you don't mean that.
We have to break. We have to break. Wow. And we'll get to the... bottom, of course, he'll stay on the line. Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Listen, talk in your real voice.
Yeah, don't play that thing with the phone.
I had to turn the volume up because I couldn't hear you.
Talk in your real voice.
I am right now.
Right now, you're not challenged like you play on our show, right?
Well, how do you want me to prove it? You want me to send in my grades from school?
What about when you call?
Does he sound even a little different right now?
What about when you call Cairo?
What about Cairo? I haven't called them since I called you guys. 4 months ago.
No, what about when you called Cairo and you mentioned, I forget his first name, is it BJ?
BJ?
Yeah. And you mentioned his name and then they played the tape on their show?
All right, do all these listeners understand anything of a tape delay? No.
Are you Shane Bott?
Shane Bott?
Are you, are you that Shane guy?
No!
You're not.
No!
Oh, we need an inquisition.
All right, hold on a second,
interesting.
Chris. Hold on. Stay right there.
Hold on, because I got to put a chew in right now.
Yeah.
You got to do a what?
Well, I have my extra tape on, and I need to get a chew.
Chew? You mean like get tobacco?
Yeah, I quit for a while, but
all right. You go do that. Hold on.
She's conjuring.
Hold on a second. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two members of the Seattle Star Wars Society are giving new meaning to the term diehard fan. They kicked off the new year by getting in line for Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, 4.5 months before the May 16th release of the film. John Guth and Jeff Twyton, I think it is, are outside Cinerama in Seattle, Washington, waiting. John and Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm trying to
do... Hi, John and Mike.
Oh, we get to say hi, Mom, and everything like that. Jeff and John, we appreciate it. Good luck to you, and maybe we'll check in with you as the 129 days tick off.
Please.
Yep.
Thanks.
See you, Don and Mike.
That's dude.
Hey, we better do a shout-out here for some of these stations. 106.7 WJFK Washington. Live 105.7 FM Baltimore. 100.3 The Buzz, Seattle.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's not forget 94 WYSB Philadelphia.
The Legacy. Even better than touching skin. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Let's see. No, Rob, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
All right, I'll say it. Here's one for Tim.
Baby.
This is what the show is about, man. I mean, we play rock. We play pop, we play soul.
Yeah. We play a bit of everything.
We used to have a phrase to coin the show that the salespeople used, from the womb to the tomb.
That's right.
And I'll be damned if we're going to be packaged anymore, you know, with guys screaming about angst. Because it's all BS. It's all MTV, you know, putting out what the research says, you know, 18 to 24-year-old men are into.
We will continue to do what we do. And that, little man, is our pledge to you.
That's our legacy. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don, Mike, Rob A, Buzz.
But right now we're really into this thing. And this is
I wanted to let you guys know that this guy is Shane Bot. He called in the...
Can I get someone to maybe clearly tell me what his name is? It Shane Ba?
No, Shane, like robot, but cut off the
Shane bow. Bot.
Yes.
Okay,
now, he called into the show.
Here's the thing. We put him on probation because we like nutty callers that call our show to call our show exclusively.
Right.
And we put him on this double secret probation, and apparently he was still calling disc jockeys that are on our station in Seattle. But if he's even calling Cairo, which is like the old AM station,
right,
and he's mentioning the other show.
Well, and here's my biggest point. He's not a nutty caller.
Right.
He's a fake nutty caller, and that Dennis Murphy is a nutty caller.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Speaking of.
Hey!
Hello?
Hey, go ahead, Mike. Christian Lund is nothing. You and Don and Mike are the radio god.
Dennis, what is your current dilemma?
Well, I need a job.
Oh, are you still on?
I need a job. What? Please?
Rob wants to know if you've gotten your teeth worked on.
Let him find a job first.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dennis always has to ramp up his timing a little bit.
Maybe you could do better in the interviews with a winning smile.
All right, Dennis, I tell you what. I'll give you a chance to turn the tables.
Right.
We always bust your balls. I'm gonna put you on with this guy, Chris.
Okay.
And you find out from him if he's a faker or if he's...
Yeah, real. Dennis knows his way around regular callers. He knows what it's all about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So here we go. It's Dennis Murphy versus Chris the Loser.
Hey, Chris the Loser, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, Dennis?
Hey, Chris, come on. Talk in your real voice, please.
I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Talk in your real voice, please.
Okay. What do you want me to say?
Come on, Chris.
No.
I want you to talk in your normal voice.
Okay. What do you want me to say?
Hello, my name is Chris the Loser.
My name is Chris the Loser. Hello.
He's faking.
He's faking, Dennis?
He's faking.
Now, Dennis, why don't you tell this guy some of the trials and tribulations we went through with you.
Dennis could give his whole bio with the show.
Didn't you stray for a while, Dennis?
Yeah, I strayed for a while, and I learned my lesson.
Dennis, who did
you... on 6 months probation.
Who did you cheat on us with?
I caught other stations and other markets.
Didn't you call like 98 Rock in Baltimore?
That was like 4 or 5 years ago, and someone routed me out, and you put me on double secret probation.
And Dennis, this is something you ought to always remember, and I'd like you to see if you can remember it. Can you kind of list, in general, the places that we have sent you over the years?
You sent me to hedonism.
Hedonism, right.
With Grace. With the dirty feet.
With the dirty feet, right. I know you also went skydiving on the show.
I'm missing an order. The next place you sent me was Reno, trying to lose my virginity.
Yes, at a whorehouse.
Right. And I couldn't get it up.
Right.
Right.
And then you sent me... Then, like, a couple of years after that, I went to Sacramento to jump out of an airplane.
Right, and we have that on the air where you actually skydived.
Yeah, skydived. I was yelling, and I was, like, unbelievable. And I saw the airplane 4 times.
What, Chris?
I want to skydive.
Well, Chris, let me...
You have it earned it, Chris. You have it earned it.
How much does it cost?
Let me explain. It didn't cost Dennis anything. That we send Dennis out there. Let me explain to you how it works, Chris, though. If you're a regular on the show,
I called you. I talk to you all the time.
I know, but you called the other shows as well.
I haven't called them since you guys put me on probation.
But what about what people say is you sound different when you call the other shows?
Well, I don't know.
Right. No, that's not a good answer. That is not a good answer.
Both of you, hold on a second. Hold on. Let me get another caller from Seattle. Bill. Hi, Bill.
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Don and Mike, I love you guys, and Washington State's behind you, and we all hate Chris.
You all hate Chris.
What? Now, why? Yes. Tell us why.
Why?
Because Chris, or should I say Shane Bot,
right,
as you're known to Washington State loyal Don and Mike listeners, you call BJ Shea every couple of weeks, you call Cairo, you don't use the retarded voice.
All right, hold on. Let me put you on with him because you have the actual facts about, like, Cairo and stuff.
Thank you.
Let's see. Hold on a second. What did I do?
Oh, dear.
I just lost that guy.
Did you lose the guy that was going to give
you? But I got another guy. Hold on. Derek?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, do you have the same information as the last guy did?
Definitely. Same information.
All right.
He called. Yeah.
Hold on. Hey. I'm going to put you on with Chris now. Chris?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Here is Derek, also from Seattle.
Hey, Derek.
Hey, Chris. Why are you calling? You called BJ Shea when they were on vacation.
Guess what, Dick? Have you heard of tape delays? Why do you think they're on vacation? Because they were running tape delays. Ever heard of that?
What about
the...
Probably haven't.
You see how he wises up real quick? Guy's not an idiot. He talks perfectly fine.
What does tape delay have to do with anything?
Because they were on reruns.
They who?
When BJ.
Uh-huh. BJ, no, it was when you guys were on vacation. BJ was live here in Seattle.
BJ
and he called.
Was on.
No, yeah, my fault. My fault, my friends.
Right.
Wait, hold on. So you mean the other guy, BJ, was on vacation the same time as we
were? No. You guys, Don and Mike, you guys were on vacation.
We were on vacation. Now, caller, I want you to speak to the way he sounds. You say he sounds differently. Even the way he's talking now to you, is that a different way than when he calls BJ?
Oh, yeah, he's perfectly clear. I mean, he speaks like clear. Oh, he was defending himself, saying that he was trying to find out why you guys weren't around and that Brad was...
I'm sorry. This guy is not qualified.
You know what? You know what I think we need to do?
What?
And I don't even know if this other DJ on our Seattle station, BJ, cares about this guy. If he wants this guy, Chris.
Right.
I'd like to get the other DJ that's on before us, does 9 to noon in Seattle.
Right.
Get him on the air, if he wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Come on and find out his point of view. Does he think this guy, Chris... is a worthwhile part of his show?
Right.
Does he want to hold on to him?
Mm-hmm.
And does he get bothered the way that we get bothered that he whores himself out to all these shows?
But do you understand that that's not what's bothering me as much as the fact that he's faking his whole persona? If he's calling with this, hey, you know, I got a job on a roof and I did it.
And he's doing a character.
And he doesn't sound like that. I mean, that's not what he sounds like for real.
Here's Phil in Seattle. Phil?
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 Don and Mike?
Hi, Phil.
Chris, the main issue, he's playing you, and that's wrong.
Right.
You are radio deities, and you do not deserve this.
All right, sir.
And you busting Chris is nice!
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 Nice! Nice! All right, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Provided you decide to keep Chris, what any regular callers you'd be willing to trade for him?
You know, well, here's the deal. I don't think we should keep Chris unless he speaks the way he speaks.
He's got to come clean with us.
If he doesn't come clean, he's gone.
Here's John in Seattle.
You're gone.
You are gone.
Yeah, hey, one time I was listening to BJ Shea, this guy Billy called, and I called Brad, the BJ's producer, and I said, hey, that's the Chris guy from Don and Mike. He goes, yeah, man, he's a player. He's just trying to get in radio. Don't tell Don and Mike, but you guys kick ass. You need to know this. Get busting, Chris.
He's trying to get into radio.
Well, he's doing it the wrong way, because he's going to piss us off. Here is Jim all the way in Spokane. Jim.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to call and say that caller, Chris, does represent Seattle.
Oh, wow. Here's Jay in Seattle. Jay.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you, this guy has a love affair with Brad, BJ's dumbass producer in Seattle, out in the buzz, because that's where the connection is. BJ might not know about it as much as Brad would, but it, his name is Shane on the BJ show.
Now, what, when you say this guy's producer, he has a love affair, explain that.
Well, he, BJ and Brad, his producer, have a little battle going on a daily basis, and so Brad busts, you know, busting pretty hard, BJ pretty hard, by putting Shane on as a regular caller.
Okay. All right.
So he calls his back line, gets Shane involved. BJ has, you know, kind of a hard time with it. And that's where their connection is. So it's more of a Brad issue with,
you know, I don't know.
We're learning too much.
We're getting Seattleized.
Hello, Mike, also in Seattle. Mike.
Hey, what's up? Hey, this guy's a fag. This is little Brad's little boyfriend. He pays him to go on and do prank calls.
Hey, wait. You say he pays him?
Yeah, he pays him. He pays him to prank call your radio station.
How do you know this?
Because he said it on the air, and then BJ said don't, or Brad told BJ not to say it, don't throw him under the bus, and then he got on there.
Now, here's the thing. We can't comment on stuff that you guys hear on this BJ, this other disc jockey show, because we don't know how much of it is shtick and how much of it is real.
Right.
Yeah, and really,
we're 3,000 miles away.
And really, for about 80% of the people calling on this subject, English is a second language. I'm still really trying to figure out what's going on.
Listen, just make a couple of things real clear. We know that this other disc jockey, BJ, has been very supportive of our show.
Right, exactly.
In Seattle. He moved time slots so that we could be heard live.
Right.
So he's on our good guy list.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I want to talk to him.
Right.
If this guy is like if this guy is his Dennis Murphy, he can have him. But if he's calling us and dicking us around and dicking him around, well, then maybe we both don't want him.
And I, you know, we're getting a clear picture that this guy is really, well, he's playing us. I agree. He is playing us.
All right, let's end it with this guy. Chris?
Yeah?
Congratulations. You've had a good run on this show.
Okay.
But really, you know, the gig is up now.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
I loved your guys' show.
So you're going to confess?
Yeah.
All right, now you better.
I love you guys, though, man.
The dumb guy and the roofing and the Walmart.
No, I'm serious. I got fired at Walmart, and I worked for my uncle, yeah.
What about, I appreciate the fact that you're speaking in your real voice now.
Yeah.
I like that.
What about the first time you called us, and you were, like, suicidal? And,
no, I'm serious. Everything I told you was real, except I was talking like an idiot.
Wait, you're saying that the
everything's
suicide.
Real, yeah. It's just I talk like an idiot, that's all.
So the suicide thing, and like I'm eating chicken and all that, it's just kind of, you were playing.
No, everything, I'm telling you right now, guys.
The content.
Everything I did
was true.
Was real. 100%.
But you just,
I'll mail you a suicide letter. I wrote my dad 4 months ago.
But you just did it in a retard voice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm strangely fascinated.
Yeah. I've always liked the guy.
I love you guys, man. I do.
He sounds so different now.
Yeah.
Does the other guy.
now does the other disc jockey know that you're full of crap?
No. He knows what I do with you guys and stuff. He knows.
Now,
he's really cool with it, man. It's fun, you know.
In some way, is this a joke on us, though?
No, not in any way at all. No way at all. You can call BJ if you'd like.
Now,
way at all.
Does the producer, this Brad guy, does he pay you?
No, he doesn't pay me at all.
And you
he
do?
He can't pay me. I haven't even started school yet. I start school June 13th.
Do you crank call other shows?
From time to time, but not in a while.
Do you call Cairo?
No, I haven't called them in a while.
Well, if you call Cairo or KJR or whatever they are, for God's sakes, toss our names in there. I mean, if you're going to crank call some of these broke dick AM stations, you know, toss our names in.
Done.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think you would say, it'd be fair to say you at least owe us that, right?
Done. I'll start my scouting Monday.
All right, thank you. It's so weird to hear him talk differently.
I'm going to mail you that suicide letter, too.
All right,
it's kind of weird, so.
All right, send us the letter, and from now on, just be in your real voice.
Okay. I'll do whatever I can whenever I call you guys.
All right.
You guys want to know what? You want to guess what else?
What?
I got to go get shorts at G.I. Joe's.
All right. Get out of here, you. Get out of here.
I like him again. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like a guy that comes clean finally.
Now on the phone from Seattle is the guy that does 9 to noon.
Okay.
Here's BJ. Hi, BJ.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you guys doing?
Hey, dude, now, this guy Chris, who obviously uses this fake retard thing with us, when he calls you, does he talk in a regular voice?
You know, when he calls us, he pranks the station. My producer just loves to throw people on the air without me knowing, and it's always his stupid guy, Chris. He does a variety of different voices.
Ah, okay. All right, so he does a variety of different people.
Well, do you want him?
Here's the thing. This guy, he's somebody who's got a massive drug problem, and he's home all the time. I mean, I was listening to you guys this afternoon talking about it, and yeah, he kind of is, I think, in some way faking you out, but at the same time, he really is insane. He's a drug addict.
He's a drug addict.
But, well, that's
right. That's fascinating.
That's right. But here's the thing. You were there first, so it's like intellectual property. Do you want him? And then the question after that would be, if you don't want him, do you mind sharing him?
I think that, you know, he deserves the national stage because of his unique talents, and I have no problem sharing him.
All right.
Nice. Well, then,
you know, and like he came that. Clean with us. And used his real voice, which was my biggest issue.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, what the hell, he can call occasionally. He is kind of an interesting guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, based on what BJ said about the drug use, perhaps the whole suicide thing is legit.
Well, he'll send us the letter.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, good. Well, you know, BJ, we should network every once in a while on this guy. If you don't mind.
Definitely, because he is really out of his mind. He
okay.
did a contest with us, and he got arrested because of it. So he is crazy.
Wow.
All right.
Very good.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, guys.
Thank you. See you later.
Take care. Bye.
It's BJ. He does the 9 to noon show on KQBZ FM in Seattle.
And as you said, he is on the good guy list. He was, you know, he's been very, very good for our show out there. He's helped us out. We appreciate it.
Now, cool. Here, get ready for the retard parade, okay? Yeah.
Hello. Don, you guys are retards for believing that guy in the first place. I've
right.
hated him since day one.
Right. You knew since day one, but somehow your call never got through, right?
I knew that he bugged the hell out of me, and I called that first day, and Joe just said, we love him. He's staying
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Right.
There does seem to be a tremendous amount of venom for this guy, Chris, in Seattle. Why, I wonder?
He's an ugly bitch. I want to cut off his head and play around with his blood.
What?
How? That's I'm asking the wrong guy.
About that. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Man, what a douchebag, huh?
No, I mean...
No, not really. We can't hate him.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he came clean...
If he'd kept it up, we would have really hated him. But
yeah,
now he, you know...
I hope with all that lying, I hope he really did have that raging infection in his pecker.
Well, that was another one of the things he told us.
I'll
be interested to read the suicide letter.
Yeah.
And if what BJ said is true, if the guy is an addict, well, then maybe he'll be good for some fun down the road on this show.
Yes, absolutely.
Everyone has a talent. Now, you recall, I hated him from the word go.
Right.
But now not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Now, he's come off as quite likable, but I want to know if he's still, if he really had sex with the fat lady.
Bet he did.
That was another one.
And, you know, I think we will probably find out more about the guy. And it might even be more interesting now that he is, you know, dropping this persona. And I think Joe should be on the lookout if the guy does a variety of these voices.
Right.
Yeah. You know, perhaps we should be on lookout for some, you know, him calling as somebody else.
And now let's just tie this up in a bow and move on. Let's go back to Murphy for a second.
Hey, guy, hey, Mike.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, so, yeah, I could tell he was faking, but I just want to let you know, I'm not faking.
No, we know you're not faking.
We know. Man, Dennis, when Dennis is on the show, really one of the number one questions I get is that a character, or is that a real guy? And I always have to tell people it's a real guy.
No,
your
Dennis,
best.
Let me just say, as always, thank you for listening. And
you're welcome, Don. I'm not listening.
Listening.
Dennis, the fact that you don't have a job, I think, really has to do, perhaps, with your dental work.
Well, it's not my dental work. I think the market is there for accountants.
No, I don't think so, Dennis. I think what needs to be done here, of course, we need your consent, is your teeth should be pulled.
It does.
We have
told you this from day one. And
dentures.
We have told you that we would bankroll this. And we've had dentists call the show saying the answer to your teeth, and I swear I'm not trying to be cruel.
What?
Dennis's teeth look like the teeth of my German Shepherd.
No.
Dennis has dog teeth. They're pointed.
And they're in very, very bad shape. And your gums are in very bad shape, right?
And what you need is...
Remember, I have Mobius syndrome.
Right, you have...
Moshiach
syndrome. And what you need is...
Moesha.
What you need is to have all of those teeth yanked one at a time, and you need a nice fake set of like Regis Philbin teeth.
Now, with your syndrome, could they do that? Could they pull the teeth and put in dentures?
Oh, yeah. I don't see why not.
Has a dentist ever suggested that that's what they do?
Well, the last person who cleaned my teeth said...
Lucky man.
That's what she said. She said, man, this is going to be a job.
Would Dennis be a candidate for that extreme makeover?
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I were watching that show last night because, you know, my wife's got this in-and-out fascination with plastic surgery.
Right.
And she said, I got a reality show that you have to watch.
I've seen that show before.
And I'd never seen it. And they had one broad that was just...
Was there a dramatic change?
Butt ugly. And they really fixed her up. And then there was this black chick who had... I can't... Don't look at me, Rob. Look away when I tell the story. She, I am not kidding, had the biggest lips that I have ever seen. Goodbye, Rob. Rob has now left the room. She had, like, the biggest, like...
What, like to the point where she needed plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Right.
And they fixed her lips, and they gave her a tummy tuck.
Right.
And they lifted her boobs.
And it made a huge difference?
And they gave her laser eye surgery.
Wow.
And they gave her hair extensions.
Right.
And within 1 hour... She went from being a woman you'd look at on the street and go, ugh.
Right.
Going, I would do that in a second.
Now the first time I saw that, they had three people, and I thought at the very end, when they brought them in, you know, do they do the big thing still where they walk into their family,
yes,
and the family's all crying and applauding and stuff. And they brought three people, and all three of them, they all had like Jimmy McClure chins, and so they gave them chin implants. But I thought that it wasn't that dramatic, so I would have liked to see the last
two one. Girls last night were dramatic, and what's funny is the doctors, especially by Dennis, the guy who did, you know, what we're going to do is, well, we're going to cut into your lips. Oh, and also with this one broad, with the black chick, they chiseled her teeth down, which is what Dennis needs.
Right.
They chiseled her teeth down. They ultra-whitened her teeth. They put like 10 shades of whitener on.
Right.
And then they showed them cutting into her lip.
Ow.
And the other broad, the white chick, they did that thing where they put the wire just inside. They go through her skull, and they put the wire down, like fishing wire, down where it goes just beneath her left eye.
Yeah.
And they tug.
Oh, they pull like kind of a facelift?
And they pull up, but it worked.
It worked, and she looked hot, too.
Yeah.
And she gets free HBO now.
Yeah, it worked. Anyway, it worked. I'd like to see Dennis on that show. I'd like to see Dennis on Extreme Makeover.
I'd love to give Dennis a make. Well, you know.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
But we've asked so many times over the years. We've tried to help Dennis.
But you hung up before you got an answer. I think we were on to it that time.
He does not like to have anybody go near those teeth. He likes to neglect them.
Yeah.
The ultimate, it needs to be not just cleaned, but remodeled.
Well, remodeled completely. And
removed.
It's also why when Dennis walks into the studio, there are times when you open that door,
you can
20 feet away from me, and I smell his breath.
The breath. Listen, we got a break. At least the entire Chris situation has now been resolved.
I believe so. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we're all in agreement. We really want Dennis to get his teeth fixed.
Yes, please.
And we'll pay for it and have it all done live. On the show.
And maybe hair plugs.
The Dennis Murphy makeover. Please, Dennis, think about it. What else do you got going? You're out of work?
Yeah.
You got one arm?
We'll get somebody to do it. I mean, I'm sure that would be a cosmetic dentist who would like to help Dennis.
We're running so late, but one guy says he wants to sell Dennis out. How can you possibly have info on Dennis? We know Dennis.
Well, with all this talk about Chris, I found out something about Dennis Murphy. That's a fake stub.
All right, no. We know his stump is real.
Stub.
We know.
He said a stub.
We know it's real. Yeah. We'll be right back. Oh, I'm going to love doing this. We have two segments coming up in a row that I'm going to love.
Okay.
The first one, I don't think I've ever done for transvestites. Maybe one time I have.
It's fine.
I will today, and I'll need your guys' help.
Very good.
And then we're going to do a bit that we tried one time called Wanna Be Us. Where we pick two people from the audience.
Right.
One to be Don and one to be Mike.
Yeah, and we give them the show.
And we actually have an interview set up.
Oh, good.
One of our Jive interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pull it off, we'll give you $100.
Absolutely.
Okay, so all of that is coming up. I see people are calling in now. about fixing Dennis's teeth.
Good.
And plastic surgeons are calling in to give the dentist extreme makeover. It's good. It's starting to grow hair, if you pardon the pun. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What brings you here?
I heard about your trouble with Batu. Thought I'd come to lend a hand.
Thank you, my son.
He's fought you. He's my own student.
The five city monks, they've all been killed. It was Batu and his gang.
Where's Batu now?
Well, I'm not really sure. What'll we do?
As for Batu, deal with him as you think fit.
The Don and Mike Show. And now, the stars of Greater Tuna, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah, okay. A poker night tonight.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be pretty good. I'm going to watch Michael Jackson on my big screen.
It'll be fun.
We're going to play poker. We'll have the report for you on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
I know nobody reads the Washington Times.
No, no one does.
Which, of course, is why there was a giant article on our ratings in there today. The Washington Post didn't mention it.
No, pretty nice stuff in the Washington Times.
The headline, Don and Mike revive WJFK's afternoon drive ratings.
Hey.
Very fairly written piece by some guy named Chris Baker.
Oh, good.
But what I find interesting is that for the first time ever, and we've been working for Infinity for almost 13 years now, first time ever, somebody from this company said something about us in the newspaper.
Huh. And you know, they weren't even asked.
Right.
Which is, I mean, a miracle. Wow.
So let me see. Dynamite fared better with its target audience, adults between 25 and 54. Among that group, it was third, up from 10th place. This is a testament to Don and Mike's strength in this market,
mm-hmm.
and I'm grateful to them. When you go from the middle of the pack to the top five in one ratings period, that's pretty significant, said Michael Hughes, Senior Vice President and Market Manager for Infinity Broadcasting.
Nice!
Nice!
Yeah, thanks, Buzz. Yeah. Could have knocked me over today with a pubic hair.
Pretty amazing stuff, and we appreciate his kind words. You know what? Yeah. It's very odd to say that about a man. It has been so long.
Somebody called me up today and said, have you read the Washington Times? I said, yeah. Right.
Oh, wow.
Right. Said, right. I read it. Said, oh, really? Go to the website.
With the quote in there and everything. It's,
anyway.
It's a strange feeling, but a nice feeling.
Go figure. Now.
Nice.
Now, I'm going to have some fun here.
It's time for Dialing for Transvestites with Ronnie.
No, I'm going to do it today.
His alter ego of Dolores.
It'll be Tim today.
With the minds of phone sex guys.
Right.
Lots of fun with Don and Mike and all round eyes.
So everybody on the show has done this. Rob's the best.
Yes.
Mike's done it. Buzz has done it.
You're going to do it. And your alter ego is going to be who?
Tim Sabian. I'm not even getting a girl's name.
Right.
But I'm going to have issues.
Of course. And I just can't wait to hear what the issues are going to be.
Where are we
talking about your facial hair?
Dial for transvestites.
Be my long, firm, and shapely legs.
Yeah.
You know they feel so smooth and silky.
Oh, it's the hot feet
all
number.
All the way down to my tiny feet. And freshly painted little toes.
She sounds like she's a smoker.
Ooh, my body gets hot over when
it's
you...
It's a new lady, and I think she's older.
Yeah.
And tickle my tiny toes with your tongue.
Come on, honey. I want front sex.
Come a little closer. And let my tiny size 5 feet with the high arches rub you.
Please. Oh, come on, pig.
You're hard. Uh-oh.
Come on, pig whore.
Ooh, you must
pig whore.
Be 18 for these.
I am. I'm Tim. I'm over 50.
You get
how old are you exactly, Tim?
For only
52, I think.
$99 per minute. And it's sponsored by Boulevard Entertainment.
Of course it is.
For customer assistance, call 1-800...
See, normally guys on the show, especially Rob, call them. The dial is transvestite.
Right, yes.
3 seconds after the tone.
Each call has an access fee of $5.99.
And Rob always just slays us when he asks the girls to make him eggs.
One moment, please.
And not to laugh at him. And to cut tomatoes and onions.
And, of course, I'll be looking for your...
Hi, sweetie. This is Isis. Before I put you through to one of my friends, I need you to verify the last 4 digits of your phone number for me.
You're on the air. Sure, the last four digits of my phone number. Give me just a second, the line of honey.
Are you going to make her do things for you?
Yeah, well, I want her to say stuff to me.
It's okay. Women with sexy little feet and toes who are ready to get kinky with you.
That's what I want.
Press one. Are you into feet, Tim?
Of course I am.
Remember, to get back to the main menu, you can press star at any time.
Remember that, please, Buzz.
Okay.
Press one for a live triple X toe-sucking, uncensored one-on-one call with one of my sexy girlfriends.
That'll work.
Remember, to get back to the main menu, you can press star at any time.
I hope I can keep up the Rob A standard.
Here we go.
First thing I got to say is she's on the air.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm awful.
You are?
I really need your help.
Okay.
What's your name, baby?
Amanda.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
I'm looking for a man to hug and kiss.
Yeah?
Amanda. A man to hug and kiss.
Oh, you are?
My name's Tim.
Tim?
Tim Sabian.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm awful. Let me just run down my laundry list of problems.
Okay.
I'm a woman trapped in a man's body.
Mm-hmm.
I compulsively shave all of my hair, my beard, my legs, my genitals, constantly. I have a high-pressure job. I'm in the entertainment business. I desperately want to fire two of my employees. I can't. I'm really powerless. It's like I feel like Saddam Hussein, and they're pulling down my statue.
Uh-huh.
I can't wax my chest any longer. I must come out now. I don't want to be Tim Sabian. I want to be Tammy Sabian.
Okay.
So would you please refer to me as Tammy Sabian?
Okay.
Say it. I want you to say, hello, Tammy Sabian.
Hi, Tammy Sabian.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Please tell me I'm a pretty girl.
You're so pretty, Tammy.
What about my job? I'm so worried about my job. I'm so worried that I'm going to be fired. My little project that I work on has just gone through an incredibly... Let me take my bra off.
Tell her what you're wearing, Tammy.
I'm wearing... If you want to know, I'm wearing a Girl Scout uniform.
Oh. That's what you're wearing right now?
I'm taking it off right now. And I'm also taking... heart medication. I'm taking little those nitroglycerin. I'm eating those like jelly beans.
Oh, really?
Because my heart is just pounding. I've got health issues. I'm a mess emotionally, and mainly me, Tim Sabian. I am a man with a woman that wants to come out. I'm really a woman. Go number one sitting down. I have my period every month. I have menstrual cramps.
Right.
Even though, you know, I'm trapped in this man's body. And day after day, I have these two employees. I hope you don't mind me just unloading this on you.
No, that's fine.
I got these two guys. First off, they're men, so it bothers me. Because they're really men's men. They're guys' guys. I mean, they're the type of guys... Women love them, and guys would like to be like them.
Yeah.
They're the closest thing that I've ever come to in real life as to George Clooney. Their names are Don and Mike. And they are two employees of mine who I hate. And I want to fire them desperately. I want to fire them because they're men, and I'm not. And I want to fire them because they are independent, and I'm the type of boss. What I want to do is I want to...
You want her to suck on your toes, don't you?
I want to put on a dress. I want to stand in front of them with a big pointer. I want to slap them, and I want to castrate them.
Wow.
And would you suck my toes?
Thank you.
Would you suck my toes?
Sure, Tammy.
Thank you.
Do you paint your toenail?
Yes, I do. I paint them green because I like the Philadelphia Eagles. Suck on them. Suck my toe. Is that good?
Yes. You want me to suck your toe, Tammy?
Yes. Mm. You can, you know what, you can go between calling me Tammy and calling me Tim.
Okay.
Now I want you to lick it.
Okay.
Lick it good.
Lick it good.
Oh.
Lick it good. Mm. Now, while you're licking it good, because this is working for me, I want you to say, Tim, someday you'll be a woman.
Mm.
Say it to me now. Say it.
Tim.
Yes.
Someday you will be a woman. You
now,
definitely will be a woman.
Do you know any songs by Creed? I really got to think for Creed. Do you know any songs by Creed or by U2?
I don't have any offhand. I know if I heard them. Name a song.
How about anything by U2?
Yeah, I know.
Sing some of that for me, because I'm really nutty about music. Here's what I like doing. I like dressing as a woman, and what I like doing is I do that thing where I stuff my male genitals in between my legs and strap them down. And,
oh, do you?
Yeah, and then I've got a real regiment with the music that I like.
Mm-hmm.
I really only like about between 12 and 14 records.
Oh,
and I,
really?
And I play them over and over and over again.
Wow.
That's just the way that I am.
Impressive.
What do you think of me so far?
Well, I think you have a highly obsessive personality, that's for sure. I mean, and I think you should really do something about your problem. But, I mean, I think you should be happy.
You might want to ask her how you're going to get rid of the beard stubble.
How am I going to get rid of the beard stubble? Because that's another thing I'm compulsive about is shaving.
Well, why don't you take hormones?
Sister, I've been taking hormones.
Hormones.
I've been taking hormones since they were invented.
And it's not getting rid of your stubble?
No. My stubble and my nuts, nothing's going away.
How do your toes taste?
I don't think it'll go away from your nuts, but it's...
How do my toes taste, incidentally?
Oh, delicious. You want to hear me lick your toes?
Yeah. Do they taste like a Philly cheesesteak?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You clean your toes for me, Tim?
No. No, I won't.
Do you like the dirty toes?
Yes, I do. You know where that toe's been?
Where has it been?
In a very bad place. In a bad place that belongs to my good friend, Cousin Ed. He's another one of my employees that disrespects me. See, I've got the staff. Let me explain to you the staff, the people I have working for me. Mm-hmm. None of them respect me. Some of them, face-to-face, kiss my ass. But I have some employees that are, you know, they're in this modern age, this satellite, and I never see them.
Uh-huh.
And they totally diss me all the time. And I have a fantasy...
She ought to keep sucking while you're talking to her.
Keep sucking while I'm talking to you.
Oh, okay.
I have a fantasy, many fantasies. The first fantasy is I want to be a woman.
Uh-huh.
The second fantasy is... I want to kill some of the employees that I work for. The third fantasy is after I'm a woman and I've killed the employees that I can't stand, I want to just be in a nice, girly room. Like, you know, have you ever been to a real fancy hotel where you walk in the ladies' room and it's like a room out of Will and Grace?
Yeah.
Which, incidentally, is a show I love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Madonna's going to be on that show tonight, and I'm dying for that.
Yeah.
I love her. She's marvy. She's gorgy.
You want to talk on a princess phone.
And, I'm talking to you on my princess phone.
Oh, really?
So my fantasy, and incidentally, my final fantasy is I want all, I weigh 260 pounds,
uh-huh.
And I want to be totally hairless.
Uh-huh.
Every under my arms,
dressed
well,
in a pair.
Well, if you have enough money, you know, you can have that lasered off, you know.
Hey, she's helpful.
It's very expensive.
I know it is, and I'm going to save money when I fire these two guys that are really driving me up the wall.
Shouldn't you ask her what kind of panties she recommends you wear?
Well, what kind of panties would you recommend for me, a man in my early 50s?
Uh-huh.
Really, here's part of my deal, too. I'm an old man in a young man's game,
uh-huh.
And I desperately want to be a woman. I'm hairless. And smooth as pudding skin, what kind of panties would you recommend for me, Tim Sabian?
Well, I like pink.
You like pink?
Really?
Suck my green toe again.
Okay.
Suck it.
I like pink toe.
Now.
Nail polish.
She's sucking and talking.
Now, bite my toenail. Can you make me lactate?
Oh, God.
Can you make me lactate?
I can try.
Do it. Okay. I want to nurse you. I want to nurse you.
Okay.
Who's the prettiest girl you know?
Her name is Addie.
No, no, no.
Uh-oh.
Tim, Sabian is the prettiest girl you know.
Tammy Sabian, I'm...
Tim Sabian, I'm still technically a man.
Okay.
Who's the prettiest girl you know?
Tim Sabian.
Right. Right. I'm sorry, I'm having my period. I'm hormonal. I'm all over the place today. I'm verklempt. Well, I need to know what to do about a problem I have with feminine odor.
Okay.
Even though I still have male genitalia, I have feminine odor.
What does she recommend?
Well,
what do you recommend?
Well, I think it could be your diet. It's what you eat.
I eat a lot of fast food.
Pardon?
I eat a lot of fast food. I smell like liver.
Well, that's why.
And right now I'm giving more milk than an overturned dairy truck. I'm lactating like crazy, honey. Listen, my time here is limited. I just need to know right now, I want you to tell me honestly, who's the pretty girl?
Tim Sabian.
Yes. Yes.
You're a
yes.
beautiful girl.
And who are the guys that if it was within the realm of the law, Tim Sabian would kill? Do you remember their names? I'll tell you their names. Their names are Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
They don't think I'm pretty.
Ask her why Tim Sabian is so pretty.
Why is Tim Sabian so pretty? Tell me, why is Tim Sabian so pretty? I realize I'm speaking of myself in third person. But tell me, why is Tim Sabian so pretty?
Well, because he doesn't have a lot of hair on his body.
That's right. And
he has green toenail polish.
That's right. And he's lactating.
And he's lactating. And he has his period.
That's right.
That's why he's a pretty girl.
Wow. Hey, I just completed. You're good. You're good. Can I ask for you the next time I call?
Well, you can, but I don't know.
What's your name, whore?
It's Amanda.
Amanda. All right, Amanda. Let me write that down. Amanda, whore. And this is.
And I'm a good whore.
You're the best.
I'm a good whore.
My name's Tim Sabian. And I just want to ask you one more time for the right. Would you just say it so I can hear it resonate throughout the night after I fantasize about this call after I hang up? Will
Tim
you just say?
Sabian is the prettiest girl I know. I love her toenails. I love her hairless body. And she's lactating.
Because of you, I'll be right over. Thank you, honey.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
That's a nice, mighty little job. That ended with a bang, man.
It's pretty easy.
Maybe it's pretty girl because he doesn't have any hair and he's lactating.
It really wasn't the hardest one we've ever done.
No, you know, Don, some might think that was... part comedy bit, part editorial statement.
Mike, that's the beauty of it. You read into it whatever you want to.
Thank you very much.
Now it's time for you, the home listener, to get involved.
Very good.
You just heard me do a radio bit. I know it sounds easy. You know, and I used to say this all the time when I was a kid. When I was growing up, I would watch baseball.
Right.
And I would watch George Brett. And it looked to me like George Brett would just walk out there and go, oh, yeah, boom, 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 base it.
Great hitter.
And it wasn't until I think I played, like, Little League that I found out it ain't that easy.
Yeah. Pretty hard to hit that round ball with a round bat.
So, you out there listening right now, you think you can do what Mike and I do? Here's the deal. We need one of our listeners to be Don and one to be Mike.
Make sure you mention who you want to be.
Rob has set up an interview with a guy named Charles Ray. He's a guy from New York, and he's hoping that the 65th anniversary of the Shirley Temple drink drives everyone to drink.
Very good.
Charles Ray is about to release a bottled version of the Shirley Temple.
Hmm. Yep.
That has an actual maraschino cherry in every bottle.
Now, you have to do this interview and do your best Don and Mike impression when you do this.
If you can get through the interview, 5 minutes with this dude, pretending that you're us, and asking him dumb questions and whatever it is that we do, we'll give each of you $100.
That's it.
So, you want to be me, you want to be Mike, you want to call there, and Robbie, this guy's expecting a call from Don and Mike, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, our phone number, 877-365-3636.
Good luck.
We've done this bit one time before. It's called Do You Want to Be Us?
And it really worked out kind of okay.
So you can be us.
Very good.
Call right now, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Tammy. Is the Don and Mike Show.
Tim. Lactating Tim.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, sir, but no, I'm afraid they are not real radio personalities.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's why you, sir, are the greatest man in show business.
They're good listeners because they're good talkers. Don and Mike.
Okay. Rob's getting the guy on the phone right now. Let's find someone to be you and someone to be me.
Very good.
It's time for... Wanna Be Us?
That's the official Wanna Be Us music. Wow.
Who doesn't want to be a DJ?
Really?
And interview a guy.
Charmed!
And everybody on hold can hear this now.
Charmed, I'm sure.
Guy's name is Charles Ray. Let me see. He wants to release a bottled version of the Shirley Temple. And, you know, that's like a non-alcoholic drink.
He's very concerned. It's called the All-American Shirley Temple.
Let me see. Every one of these bottles of Shirley Temple beverage will have a real cherry inside. And don't worry that your kid will choke on it. The bottle has a special cherry trap designed to keep the fruit from popping out.
Well, if the fruit doesn't pop out, how can you eat the cherry, which is the fun part, I guess?
You can't.
That's left up to our Don and Mike impersonators.
Let's go to Baltimore first. Or Ocean City, I know. Hello, Don? Don?
Hello. Yes, I'm right here.
Guy's name is really Don, and you want to be me? Where are you from?
Up here in Columbia, Maryland.
Live 105.
Yep.
Love it.
Except when
love,
I head west.
Love being on FM in Baltimore. All right,
Live 105.
You want to be me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. That means you're going to be the point guy then. You're going to be the guy that initiates the conversation, but you have to let Mike,
right.
Okay.
Like I do on the show, you got to get an ebb and flow going with him.
Okay, take the timely pauses.
So, Don, say hello to your Mike. Hello. Jason. Hello.
Yes.
Jason, where are you from?
I'm from Philadelphia.
So you are part of our...
Part of the legacy.
Part of the legacy.
All right, Jason, you're going to be me, right?
Hi, Jason, how's it going? Pretty good, how about yourself?
Jason?
Good.
Jason, can you hear me?
This Don? Yeah.
That's Don?
Hello?
Mike?
Guys?
Yeah.
Mike, don't get mad. That's me. I had the mics in audition
okay.
From the last bit.
Hey, Jason?
Yeah.
You're going to be me, right?
Correct.
Okay, are you sitting down?
Yes, I am.
All right, I need you to, wherever you are, you have to put your feet up.
I have to put my feet up? Is
yeah.
Because that's what Mike does.
That's the only piece of advice I'm going
to
give you.
And Don, if you want to be me, you just got to stand up.
I'm actually standing in my kitchen right now.
Very good.
Because that's how we do the show now. Guys,
fantastic.
You can use, you know, the fake radio voices if you want.
But, you know, you can do it, you play it any way you want.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But if at any time this really sucks ass...
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you the old and move along.
All right.
You have to keep this dude on the air for 5 minutes.
And it has to be engaging.
Yeah. You can't just say, like, tell us about the Shirley Temple in a bottle. You got to make it entertaining.
Like, for example, the guy that's Don, you know, I mean, Don would probably have a Shirley Temple anecdote.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are ready. Yes.
Okay. Buzz, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes.
Being the announcer when I put this guy on hold,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll start the clock, wait for the music.
Good luck, fellas.
What's this guy's name, Charles Ray?
This guy's name is Charles Ray.
Okay.
And again, what he's doing is he's putting Shirley Temple drinks into bottles.
I don't even know what a Shirley Temple is.
So that's it's a drink you order for a kid at a bar. It's like 7-Up and cherry juice.
All right. They're pink and
right.
They put a cherry on.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Ready, guys?
Yeah.
Here we go. Buzz, I'm going to put him on now, so... Get ready, here we go.
From the Westwood One Radio Network, it's time for the Don and Mike 5-Minute Interview. Now, here's Don and Mike.
on mic?
Yes, yes.
Are we Go. On?
Hello. Hi, we're coming back from break here. You're on the Don and Mike show. We're getting ready to have a conversation with Charles Ray, who is promoting a bottled version of a Shirley Temple. I believe Rob A. gave me the name. It's an all-American Shirley Temple. So what do you say, Mike? You want to see what this guy Charles Ray has to say?
Yeah, let's see what Mr. Ray has to say. Now, Mr. Ray, now where did the Shirley Temple, where did that start?
Well, the Shirley Temple started years ago as a commemorative attempt to salute Shirley Temple's efforts in the movie industry. And someone at a pub in New York, I believe it was L.A., had renamed an existing drink the Shirley Temple.
We're talking about the little Shirley Temple, you know, on the good ship lollipop Shirley Temple?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Just to be clear.
Hey, Charles, what would you say, is the Shirley Temple a drink that's associated with any city? Like, is it a New York type of drink? I mean, where do you expect this beverage to take off around the country? Are you going to introduce it locally?
Long-term plan. We're based out of New York, Pleasantville, New York.
Okay.
I'm going to throw some farts on
And what we're doing is we're starting with a New England distribution, and then we're going to head south all along the coast.
Hey, right. Mr. Ray, I have another question for you. The scare you put inside the bottle, is that anything like the worm in the tequila?
It's been compared to it. It was a little difficult to put 400 cherries in 400 bottles a minute, so we had to make a machine that does
Mr. Ray, did you ever pop any of those cherries when you were putting them in there? Did they ever just explode in the lip of the bottle?
Not yet.
Want to explode.
Now, I have a question, too, about the cherry. Like, why a cherry? Like, what exactly is a Shirley Temple? What makes it a Shirley Temple? I hear that it's some sort of, like, 7-Up, and it's like pink in color. I've never actually had one myself. So, like, what exactly does it consist of?
Well, the one that you get when you go into a bar that kids can drink is the basic mix of grenadine and the...
All right, now, guys, he can't hear you right now.
Okay.
So, you want to start asking him sex questions.
Sex questions, okay.
All right,
we'll do.
Sorry.
Hey, Mr. Ray, I have a question. Has anyone ever imbibed many Shirley Temples and just kind of got wild and crazy and, like, say, ripped off a shirt? Maybe if they made it a non- or an alcoholic version of that drink?
Because Audition is feeding both phone banks, so if they can hear you, he can hear you.
Sorry.
That possibility, but right now our market is just for kids, so I'm going to stay away after the time.
I have a question for you, too. Now, a man, let's say a man goes into a bar and orders Shirley Temple. Does that make him gay?
Yeah.
In some cases, but it depends on what part of the country. In the South Village of New York, it might.
All right.
The demographics, no.
So let's just say if I walked into a bar and I order a Shirley Temple, would that, in fact, turn me gay?
No, I would imagine you could remain heterosexual and still have a Shirley Temple.
I don't know. I'll do my homework on that.
How about you, Mr. Ray? What's your situation? Are you married? You got a girlfriend?
I'm single right now.
You're single? Do you think being a big beverage magnet will help you get some 19-year-olds?
That's
dumb. Well, I'm hoping for some action as a result of the success.
The guy's all right. The guy's
primary,
all right.
Reason for getting involved in this in the first place.
Are you a breast man, a leg man? Do you like asses? What's your preference on the woman's body?
Well, basically,
I'm an ass man myself, Don. You know that.
We know that.
Yes.
Hey. I sat in the eyes and worked my way down.
You probably worked your way down pretty quick.
In most cases, I hope I do.
Yeah, I typically focus just south of the eyes. That's usually a good starting point for me, but.
That's me. That's you. What was that about?
I'm carrying the bottle because that reminds you of like a woman's nipple.
That's you.
Well, no. I just, you know, I drive around in a Volkswagen Beetle that is all done up with the Shirley Temple logos and everything. And we made the mistake of putting a big banner on it that says Sherry inside. And the windows are tinted.
So the guy's okay.
So a lot of times I get people peeking in the window to try and figure out what the hell that means.
The Don and Mike guys are treading water.
I don't mean your exact address, but general would say, what part of the country?
We're in
you got about one more minute to go.
Which is Westchester County.
You got a Texan grabby?
Okay. Just curious. Okay. All right.
Great. Well, again, we're here with Charles Ray. He's promoting a bottle version of the All-American Shirley Temple. Myself here and Mike would suggest you pour a good dose of vodka in that to make it a little more palatable.
And put a little hair on your chest. Maybe you can feel more like a man if you add some alcohol.
And yeah, make it a little less gay.
Take out the cherry and skip the grenadine. You know what? Just straight vodka. And call that a Shirley Temple.
That would be Mike's Shirley Temple.
Yeah. That'll work.
Straight vodka. Yeah, that'll work. All right, Mr. Ray, what else can you tell us about this? Like, I'm fascinated with the
why do we love this so much?
The original drink that kids love and know and that they get in the restaurants and different types of, if they went to an event, like a communion or a bar mitzvah or something like that, Shirley Temple's popular already with kids. So
right.
When they get one, the cherry comes with it, and it's usually the thing that they go, start poking at the bottom of the glass. So we thought that if we had a Shirley Temple,
Buzz, you've been listening to the Don and Mike 5-Minute Interview. Join us next time for another interview on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Want to thank him, guys?
Yeah. Guys, tell him thank you.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Ray.
Mr. Ray, thank you very much, and we'll be sure to mention your drink on the air.
I appreciate it very much. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Hold on a second, please, Mr. Ray. Hold on. All right, dudes, hold on. Stay right there, because now Rob is going to do the post-interview to hear how it went.
Good. See how he thinks
it went. Hey, Charlie. Hey, it's Rob. How you doing? How you think it went? They're marvelous men, aren't they? You enjoyed yourself? We'd love to have you back sometime. Great. And any other soft drinks you want to hawk, you give us a call. Would it be possible to send us a case of the Shirley Temple soda?
That's the real Rob talking now.
10-800.
We're getting it.
Alex,
I can't fault Rob. I kind of put that in his head.
The real Rob.
Because I'm gay.
I just want this as a bit.
Yeah. Right.
Rob wants the goddamn drink.
Well, I'm taking the bullet for Rob there because I said I'd like to try it. I'd like to try the Shirley Temple with the cherry in it. Remember when we were talking about caffeine and we were during the break? That's what started that whole thing. I love it when you have that look of disgust on your face.
I'll buy it for you if you want.
Grab t-shirts for sale.
God bless you, Charlie. We'll be in touch.
But what did he think about the two guys?
He already asked that.
He loved them. He said they were great.
All right.
He liked them?
He liked them. He said, I didn't know what to expect, but his quote is, they're very fun.
That means you guys are big winners.
Yeah.
Congratulations. He's sending hats.
That's nice.
Nice. Each one of you has $100 in cash.
Excellent.
And you each also get the HBO 30 Years of Boxing prize pack. That's a nice prize. You get a nice HBO jacket in this. Next Wednesday at 10, HBO's Legendary Nights tells a tale of Foreman versus Moore, an impossible dream accomplishment. Foreman regains his title. 12 stories, 12 weeks on HBO. 30 years building legends, one round at a time. And enjoy the cash, too. And, guys, thank you. That would be Don from Baltimore, who was Don, and Jason from Philly, who was Mike.
Good job, guys.
Well done, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
Hold on, fellas.
They were funny. Yeah. They were funny, and I like the direction of that. Getting a little more sex into it. But he could hear you say that to them.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Well, obviously, it didn't slow him down.
He doesn't know what's going on. He's an idiot. Ask him any question you want.
Dope selling Shirley Temples in a bottle.
Why does the Shirley Temple make you angry?
Owning a radio was strictly
what is wrong with you?
One man found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up.
You want a free case of him. What is wrong with you?
I loved him as a kid. I did. I loved him at George and Harry's in New Haven, Connecticut.
When I was a kid, I knew they were a fag.
But you know what? You know what my old man called him? God love him? Yeah, Roy Rogers.
Roy Rogers?
He never ordered him as a Shirley Temple.
Okay.
It's the same drink.
Right.
And I always had a Roy Rogers, too.
Same drink, basically, a Roy Rogers. It was, you know, I had the cherry.
Good for you, then. You're not as faggy as I thought.
Roy Rogers might be ginger ale instead of, like, 7-Up.
No, it was. What it really was the Roy Rogers was the male version of the Shirley Temple. Because when I was a kid, you know, when I got to be, like, eight years old. What am I kidding? When I was 18, I hate it. What?
They're two different drinks.
No.
Yes. It's two different drinks.
No, not where I came from, you
I'm
two.
Sorry. No, it was a Roy Roger.
A Roy Roger? What?
What?
Yeah, Shirley Temple.
No, the Shirley Temple was
guys,
the same thing.
Listen,
no,
we gotta go
two
to
different
bus.
Drinks.
Okay, all right.
I'm with you, Mike.
Thank you.
It was a pinkish, it would look like cranberry juice.
With a cherry in it.
And it was a way to order a drink for your kid where your kid wouldn't feel like a faggot because daddy ordered you a Shirley Temple.
Right.
Okay? At least that's how they did it at Manor Country Club when I was a little kid.
And George and Harry's in New Haven.
When my mom and dad would go and play golf and get hammered.
Right.
And I'd be sitting there with two drunk, you know, Sam and Frank. And our boys will have Roy Rogers. I know exactly what you said. And Rob,
it's a generational thing.
Rob keeps putting up post-it notes.
Right.
Underline different.
No.
Different.
So you guys, we're older than you. This goes back a ways. They might have effed with it when you guys were born.
Buzz.
Probably.
Yeah, my fault.
It's your fault, Rob.
Rob's born, change it. This is what poker's like tonight.
Oh,
Rob.
This
sets the table for poker, buddy. What is your lead story tonight, Buzz?
Today, a David Letterman has met the enemy, and it's his own production staff.
Is he firing more people?
No, he's fired some. He may want to fire more.
Okay.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional, you Canadian-hating hump.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Hey. Okay, hold on. I just need the Planet Crackpot again. Well, one more time. There you go.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Making America scream. Oh, my Peter. The Don and Mike Show.
On tomorrow's episode, we'll have the recap of the poker game at my house tonight.
Good.
We'll talk about going to Iceland to do the show.
Fantastic.
That's coming up very soon. I'm going to have a little radio underbelly tomorrow.
Okay.
We've never gotten to this article that I have. A program director's 30 wonderful tips.
Wonderful tips.
For your DJs.
Hi there.
Brand new low budget Jeff Hardy tomorrow. God, I got so much stuff we got to get to. We've not reviewed movies that we haven't seen in weeks.
No.
Ask the Joe.
No.
And I was just talking with my brother. Rob will verify this.
True.
An entire segment of James Phillips Source.
Very good.
On tomorrow's episode.
Wow. Including Name the Drink.
part of Jimmy's concern is he doesn't want to talk about some things that I already alluded to today.
Ah, I can imagine what they are.
So I told him, whatever you feel uncomfortable with, just say shut up.
Sure.
If we bring it up, he said, among the things he said.
Maybe you could give him a code word like baby's mama.
He said, can I call her a bitch? I said, sure. He said,
yeah, as long as no names are mentioned.
Can I ask if there's an attorney in Wisconsin that would like to represent me for free?
Hmm.
I said, sure.
God.
Then he said, are you on live in Madison or in tape delay? I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah.
So anyway, I know a lot of people like my brother. He'll be on the show tomorrow. It's the Buzz Show now. Buzz brought to you as always by Viramax Sexual Pleasure and a Performance Enhancer. It is.
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed, clinically tested. Viramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Viramax 1-888 Try VMAX. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, after more than a month off the job with a viral infection that can be triggered by stress, David Letterman returned to a very stressful office. The National Enquirer says he exploded in anger when he discovered that hidden security cameras had been placed in the offices of the Ed Sullivan Theater. Letterman knew there had been two big burglaries in the office recently. $6,000 disappeared from his desk, along with expensive wines and high-priced gifts.
He had $6,000 in his desk?
You know, yeah, for, you know, last
walking
night.
Walking around money.
Production ideas, sure.
I guess so.
The thief turned out to be one of his employees.
Uh-oh.
But he was even less happy to learn that...
Was it Alan Coulter?
No, it wasn't. He's still there. But Dave was even less happy to learn that CBS Security had armed the place with cameras, especially since Dave knows that some of his young staffers changed clothes in that office.
Woo!
The fact that CBS security had bungled the burglary investigation only made him angrier.
You know,
wow.
I was reading an article. Buzz told me, you know, it was in that entertainment This Week magazine. Whatever. And I generally don't look at that thing until, like, Friday, until, you know, I come up with some stuff for Jeopardy from that.
Right.
And the one with Keanu Reeves on the cover, inside they had a giant article about Letterman, about how when he came back from his shingles, how he started firing all these people on his staff.
Really?
And then he fired his director of 14 years, just came in and fired his ass and changed
what
all
is the reason for it, though? I mean, what did he think that they were contributing to his stress?
Nobody,
or what?
Yeah, that's the theory. Nobody actually knows for sure, and his people are very faithful and loyal to him, and they won't talk about it.
An example of something bizarre that happened, Tony, the cue card guy, quit.
Tony Menendez.
Right.
That guy who's been with him forever?
Quit for personal reasons. And then rejoined the staff about 24 to 48 hours later.
Oh,
came back. So
I see.
Who knows
right.
what's going on?
Something's going on.
Yeah, very odd.
Anyways, he's nutty. Letterman's nutty. And I've noticed that, you know, and being someone who was away last year with my back problems,
mm-hmm.
I understand it. Letterman took like a month off for the shingles,
mm-hmm.
and then he took some vacation time.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand that month that he had off was not him sitting around, you know, having drinks and
right.
going, oh, man, this is great.
Right.
But I do find it odd that the sweeps start today,
right.
and he's not back on yet.
Really? Still reruns.
Yeah.
It's a strange little situation that's going on there.
Sure is.
Speaking of thieves in broadcasting, an engineer for Fox News now faces smuggling charges for trying to sneak Iraqi valuables out of that country. The 40 monetary bonds, the dozen paintings, and the other things he allegedly took belonged to the Iraqi people.
Was it Geraldo?
No, it wasn't Geraldo, although there are several reporters who have not been named publicly who have been caught by the U.S. military trying to swipe things themselves, including more artwork. Even some of our soldiers, I'm sorry to say, have been caught stealing things too valuable to be just souvenirs. They're being punished by the military for that.
Okay, listen, here's the thing. First off, if it's a reporter coming back, like with dogs playing poker,
right.
that's okay.
Right.
Second, anybody see the movie Three Kings?
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
I think if some of our guys are over there and their asses are on the line,
mm-hmm.
and they go in one of Saddam's bunkers,
mm-hmm.
and there's $1 million in there, you know what? Our military guys are like our teachers and our firemen, our policemen. They don't make enough money.
Mm-hmm. Take the money.
You know, put 20 or 30 grand down your pants. You know, come home
yeah, because,
and have
you
a
know
good
what?
Time.
You know, really, you know, when Bechtel, half an hour after we liberated Iraq,
mm-hmm.
we, you know, got the contract to rebuild it, you know, the good Republican company Bechtel with all the friends of George Bush that are going in there, you know, mm-hmm. why not let the GIs that are, you know, taking bullets over there, let them have a little taste? Because certainly, you know, the people are going to make money. You don't hear about that a lot either. You
That's
know, that
true.
These
yeah.
big companies, you know, that get these contracts.
Without bids.
Without any
mm-hmm.
bids at all, just mm-hmm. going, hey, you're going to get the, what is it, like $160 million?
Something like
even
that.
More than that.
But how funny is it? The reporters are like stealing artwork. Like you're coming back through customs and
right.
they go, okay, let's see, you've got, let me see, a mini disc player. You've got your Palm Pilot. You've got your,
what is this priceless ancient vase?
Scrambled photo, yes. Where'd you get that vase?
I got it from the network. I brought it with me.
Those guys are fags.
I'm Stu Nahan. The Fox engineer was nabbed at Dulles Airport here in Washington. He lives in the Washington suburb of Alexandria, Virginia. Tom Brokaw has landed an interview with President Bush. It's the president's first one-on-one since the start of the war.
Tom Brokaw.
The anchorman is traveling with Bush on Air Force One today.
I hope you'll concerned about AIDS inside our White House.
I hope you'll let me take these fabulous prizes that I brought back from Iraq. I have paintings and vases. I am from the network.
They're talking as the president flies to the Midwest for a couple of appearances. Their conversation will air as a one-hour special Friday night, with snippets airing tonight and tomorrow night on NBC Nightly News. Which
Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
None of those words are hard for you.
Not at all. Iraq. Iraq.
Saddam Hussein.
Saddam Hussein.
How about Syria?
Syria. They're all good. It's just, as long as I don't have to deal with that pesky Kuala Lumpur. Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News.
And in spite of that, Tom's still number one in the ratings.
The Greatest Generation by Tom Brokaw.
Mm-hmm.
Our
ass.
Silly ass.
Anybody go watch the Dixie Chicks tonight?
I hadn't planned on it.
I might. They're allegedly. See, here's the thing. When they say that Diane Sawyer is going to grill somebody, you know that it's really going to be
a softball.
You are so loved by your fans. What were you thinking?
What are the Dixie Chicks exactly in hot water for? What did she say?
What they did was, before the war, they're doing a concert in London, and they said, one of the cross-eyed Dixie Chicks said,
Natalie Maines, the lead singer,
said, we don't agree with what President Bush is doing, and it makes us ashamed to be Texans.
Her exact quote to the people of London was, we're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas. She now says that was a poor choice of words, that it really didn't address the issue, but she also says she should be free to speak her mind about her opinion.
I hope she sticks to her guns.
So what happened? What the hell?
What happened is all the country stations acted like we did back during the Milli Vanilli thing. Remember when we found out Milli Vanilli was fake?
Right.
We had a giant bonfire in our parking lot of the radio station. We burned all, besides the fact we hated the records.
Yeah, and I stand by that.
It was a good chance to burn the records and run them over with a steamroller and all this
they
stuff.
Were fakers.
Well, all the country DJs now are getting on the air and saying, you know, God bless America, we ain't playing the Dixie Chicks. And I've noticed that not only is their airplay going down on country radio,
right?
The American public is buying it, and they're not buying the Dixie Chicks record.
Here's the odd thing about that. Their records did fall off the charts, and sales did plummet for Dixie Chicks recordings. But according to Billboard magazine, excuse me, I'm going to need a plate. I would by now. According to Billboard magazine, ticket sales for their concert tour, they're sold out in all but six venues, and they think those will sell out as well.
Regardless of how you feel about any of these issues, man, you know, you want to live somewhere where you can't criticize the government. Let's go back to the Soviet Union, for God's sake.
I wish I could remember this site. I'll bring it in tomorrow. It's idiotcelebrities.com, something like that. A friend of mine emailed me the site, and it's actually pretty great, where every day people go on and vote about, and it's all people who have spoken out against the war and now, of course, are idiots because the war was a success. And every day there's a chart of the top 30 celebrities and who's the most hated. If anybody out there knows the name, it's idiotsomething.com. I have it at home. Call in. When I logged on today, I saw that Janine Garofalo had just edged out Martin Sheen as number one on the list. And the Dixie Chicks, it's funny, they're doing it like a top 40 radio countdown.
Right.
The Dixie Chicks had, no pun intended, a bullet by their name, because the Dixie Chicks had gone like from number 40 to number 20 to number 3.
Right.
And Janine Garofalo has been at number 2 for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And finally, this week, she's got enough votes to push her over the top.
You know, if we keep this up with websites like this, maybe we will get to that space where we can't say anything against the government or we'll be put in jail.
We can start the McCarthy
hearings
again.
Maybe that'll be cool.
Mike, listen, I agree with you. There are two sides to everything.
Right.
And the good thing is the Dixie Chicks can look at both sides at once.
Because they're cross-eyed.
Brings
it all together.
Now, hold on. Buzz, let me see if anybody's got that website.
All right.
Because it really, truly cracked my ass up.
Streisand's got to be way up.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, they taking calls right now?
God, please, somebody get a clue. Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, are you talking about Hollywood halfwits?
No, that's not it.
Hey!
Thank you, though. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I just want to let them know what the website they're looking for.
Hey, hi, it's us, and what is it?
Hello?
God. It's us, and what is the website, please?
Oh, it's famousidiot.com.
Famousidiot.com.
That's it. Famousidiot.com.
But do note that every one of those three calls started with hey.
Famousidiot.com.
Hey!
Soon to be known as blacklist.com.
Pretty funny.
Hey, it's funny.
It's just funny to go on there and see these celebrities every hour or three times a day.
Right.
Seeing the order change. It's funny.
Hey.
Yeah, like somebody's got to be calling, Corduroy, which is the nickname we have for Janine Garofalo.
Corduroy.
And saying, hey, honey.
I think if I was Janine Garofalo, that'd be pretty good that her name's still out there. You know what I mean? The people still have awareness.
Yeah.
Nice to be remembered. Yeah. Right.
Well, she has a sitcom coming out, and there's been talk that they're going to protest the fact that she's got a pilot.
viewers want to boycott NBC and the sponsors for even
for speaking out against the government.
For suggesting that she have a TV show.
Right.
Yeah.
The password is McCarthyism.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hey, Don Mike.
Hey.
Radio gods.
Howdy.
Hey,
howdy.
Bud.
Hey.
Look, with this Dixie Chicks thing, Mike, it's not everybody has the right to say whatever they want, but the point is that everybody that wants to boycott their albums also has the same right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, basically, I think that's why there's a big uprising. It's not that, you know, we want to move back to Russia where we can't speak out against the government. Speak out against the government, fine, but, you know, if your record sales drop off the planet, then that's your consequence, and you got to pay it.
The scary thing is the mob mentality, though. That's fine as long as each person thinks for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, when it's orchestrated by radio stations, then you're getting a, you know, you're getting the whole political
thing.
That's
the only part of it that bothers me.
Mixing it together.
Because we know how really dumb radio guys are.
Yeah, especially, you know, it's just like, and then you get radio that's backing the government, which is,
but they're not.
I mean, it's kind of strange.
But the thing is, the radio's not backing the government. The radio stations are just doing something that they think will get them short-term attention.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, radio doesn't do it because they're backing the government. Radio does it because it's the trend, but right, it's just very strange.
This will get us on the evening news.
Right. Right.
You know, WMZQ is refusing to play the Dixie Chicks.
That's all that.
And it's really, it's just so transparent. It's strange. It's very strange, but it's also, you know, for somebody who... It just scares me, man. It freaks me out because it's like if what happens, the trend that I see happening now, you take that really all the way down to the extreme, and it gets like, you know, it's like, oh, you said something against the government.
But hold on, let me just take the other side because I do agree with the other side. They have the right to say what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other side has the right to say we don't agree with what they said.
Right.
So if we want to put up a website that says everybody hates the Dixie Chicks,
right,
that's fine.
And that's true, and that's fine. I just you know, it just worries me when it's when it gets really organized, and it gets organized by radio stations, and
well,
it's a little weird.
There we're in agreement.
It'll change, and in 6 months, Americans will find somebody new to hate.
Yeah. and anytime radio's involved, it's bad.
Yeah. Right. And you know what? And the one thing I want to say about the Dixie Chicks also, I think whenever you're going to, you know, when you're going to say things and you want to get political, I think there's a way of phrasing things also where you can express yourself where you don't have to,
I think you're going
to alienate everybody. Yeah. And, you know,
They're dumb
country singers.
And let's not miss the big issue here. We're always free to hate and hate as much as we want.
Amen, Rob. I agree.
Right. Hold on there, Adolph. We got a break.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Even better than a jelly-filled scrotum. The Don and Mike Show.
Get your money, boys.
Yeah.
Get your money ready.
Come on.
I just talked to the old ball and chain.
She ready for the tards? As you said.
That's what I said.
I was so honored. The tards are coming over. We're all going to get out of a truck going, yay.
I called home and I said, hey, baby, are we ready for the tards? She says, we're ready. We got the food.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Got the booze. We're ready.
Yeah.
We'll have the results on that tomorrow. Before we get off the air, and we'll get right back to Buzz, both Mike and I would like to thank John Wood, who is the caddy for Kevin Sutherland on the PGA Tour.
Hey, John, thank you.
This guy got us some very nice stuff from the Masters Golf Tournament.
Really, really terrific. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you. We do appreciate it. Now here is Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, and now that Saddam Hussein is no longer employed as a cruel dictator and has lost much of his wealth, what could he do for a living?
Work for infinity.
Good idea. But an Australian expert on these things says that if Hussein is hiding in Syria, as we suspect, he could get work there as a salesman or a movie director. But since dictators usually have a fondness for uniforms, the expert says Hussein could find work in Syria as a parking inspector. A good job, he says, for someone with a chip on their shoulder. The expert also says dictators make good chefs because of the power a chef has in the kitchen.
This expert sounds like an idiot.
A total moron.
Andre...
No, he's not retarded.
Is it Matt Felling?
No, it's Andre de Guillaume,
He's the author of a book, How to Rule the World, a handbook for the aspiring dictator.
Indubitably.
We all have bigger things to worry about, but some Americans are now trying to lead a boycott against Fox's Mr. Personality. They're outraged that Monica Lewinsky is the host. For a while yesterday, you could even find calls for a boycott on the show's own website.
See?
And on the message board there. Fox has now pulled those messages.
See?
Some angry viewers have even listed specific sponsors who appeared in the first show, and they're suggesting that those sponsors be boycotted as well.
God almighty, what's wrong with people?
Don't they just know that she... All right, so she asked Clinton's D...
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like it, don't watch the show.
And she's not even really on there. I mean, she's just... She's there just going... Number 7, take off your mask.
I hated the idea of her hosting it because I just don't like her.
Right.
But she's not even really hosting. She's just there. Frankly, I think that they, it was probably a last minute thing where they said, oh, Christ, this could be like Married by America.
Right.
We better get Monica Lewinsky. As it turns out, at least from my first watching of the episode that aired on Monday, they don't need her.
Yeah.
They don't either. It was just like a gimmick they threw in at the end.
Let's not get mad at a network when Tanya Harding's not available.
It's not their fault. O.J. Simpson says he will not allow a reality show based on his time as a rap concert MC. But he says he wouldn't mind being on TV as a commentator for the Robert Blake murder trial.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm giving props to OJ.
Right.
Simpson, who was acquitted of killing his wife but found responsible in a civil trial, says he's gotten more than one offer to do this.
Simpson's got the balls.
He says he doesn't know if Blake is guilty, but he says, and I quote, there's no such thing anymore as innocence until proven guilty.
Jesus. Amazing.
Juice. Don't do this, Juice.
Why are you doing this?
We used to have the greatest fun every day reading the transcripts of the O.J. trial.
Why are you doing this? Don't do this.
In our Larry King voices.
Right.
Juice.
I'm a pretty girl.
Don't do this. Juice.
Larry.
Why'd you do this?
My thought is, if he's covering the Robert Blake trial, what if he slips and says, you know, when I get...
Really?
You know, the World Health Organization, part of the United Nations, is telling people to avoid traveling to Toronto, Beijing, and China's Shanxi province for the next 3 weeks.
Hey, we can't get that SARS if we take calls from Canada, right?
Not through the phone,
hey.
No.
They invented it, you know.
What, SARS?
Yeah.
From Canada. Come on now.
They did not. The Chinese did.
It came from China.
They're together on that.
Oh, stop it.
They're opponents.
No, listen, he's taking credit for it right here.
Listen to him.
I invented SARS.
And
I'm Chinese. SARS. It'll be coming to a neighborhood near you soon.
Saying it like the TV network, it sounds like. Don't worry about it.
Don't forget to wear your mask.
SARS
is very dangerous. And I'm a legacy.
This
is General Chow speaking.
I love his chicken.
The severe respiratory disease prompted the organization to issue earlier warnings about Hong Kong and the Chinese province of Guangdong. SARS has killed scores of people in Asia and, more than a dozen in Toronto. That's their first symptom, actually. An article in USA Today says experts in this country are being very dramatic about the disease, even though no one here has actually died from it. There have been about 40 cases in this country, but the experts say SARS is worse than a regular flu, and that usually kills about 36,000 people a year in this country.
You know, it's killing these baseball players. Not literally. I mean this kiddingly, of course. But I was watching SportsCenter.
Right.
They were saying Major League Baseball has announced that any teams that go to Toronto or Montreal to play games, the players are not allowed to sign autographs for the fans. And, you know, baseball's on this whole thing where they have to beg these millionaire jerk-offs to sign a kid's autograph anyway. So you gotta know that, like, when the Oakland A's fly to Toronto, they love the fact that they can just walk past all of the people and go, hey, we'd really like to.
Sorry, we're going into the dugout to play cards.
But sorry.
Cards.
The whole size. Cards and cards.
Size.
And speaking of Canada, Canadian-born TV star Alan Thicke.
Hey.
Alan Thicke had some bad luck and got struck by a puck.
Mike.
Thicke, who played the dad on Growing Pains, had some pain of his own.
You're going to be grounded, Mike.
He lost 5 teeth and needed 30 stitches after the mishap.
Hey, my.
It mishappened at a practice for a celebrity fundraising hockey game. The money goes to New York's post 9/11 police and fire departments.
I look like the abominable snowman.
The 56-year-old Thick was injured at a skating rink in Burbank, California. Through his missing teeth, he's quoted as saying,
I taste copper.
I won't be playing any leading men in the next couple of months.
Yeah, that is one of the great... One of the great things about my friend Mike, you won't hear, well, do it with his teeth in.
Hi, hey, Mike, you're grounded. Hi, this is Alan Thicke.
There's not a lot of call for that, but if you're,
sadly,
if you're a fan.
Leading man, I barely got on the Fear Factor.
Of growing pains. When he would ground the goofy-looking kid with curly hair.
You're grounded, Mike. Stay up in your room, and I'm going to bang Mom.
You know, believe it or not, it's really quite visual, your impression. You have facial things.
Mike, did you see me on Fear Factor?
You are wonderful.
Thank you, Rob. You're not grounded.
Thank you.
But now, since the hockey game, we've been in.
When your recreational substance abuse begins to affect your work, it's time to seek help.
Fathers expect more from a kid named Joe. Joe, 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 Joe,
and the
Joe,
rock, the, Joe, the rock Joe, group Joe, Creed. Joe. Joe. The group Creed may have just hit bottom.
Joe.
Four fans of the group in Chicago are now suing Creed. They want their money back from a December concert at a big venue in the suburb of Rosemont, Illinois. And they want the other fans at that show to get their money back, too.
Tim loves Creed.
He loves Creed. They say there was a lot of booze and drugs, but very little rock and roll at the show. They say frontman Scott Stapp was, quoting the lawsuit, so intoxicated and or medicated, he was unable to sing the lyrics of a single Creed song.
I heard that that single incident caused sales of Creed's new CD to drop by 55%.
That's a lot.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, but somebody might have been spinning that.
Somebody from the record company.
Stapp had his wife arrested last year after she hit him in the face with a cell phone. This lawsuit could cost his group up to $2 million.
I know that Creed's management called the lead singer and said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Right.
What are we going to do?
Help!
What?
Help!
What are we going to do? Buzz, I know we're running out of time, but there's some guy who's been on hold for 20 minutes.
Oh, my.
I got a little, they got a new feature now. Let's see how long someone's been on hold.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Have you really been waiting 20 minutes?
Tis I?
Have you been waiting for 20 minutes?
I just wanted to tell you, Don, you were wrong about the Dixie Chicks.
How was I wrong?
Well, it's the Dixie Chunks.
You waited 20 minutes for that?
Shoot.
Jesus, what a moron.
Get a life, dude.
Okay, now we got to see. The next guy's been on hold for 1 hour and 3 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Have you been waiting for 1 hour and 3 minutes?
Yes, I have. I went to honor your I was calling to call Charles Ray, but now in honor of your poker night, I want to wager my home phone number for a quick joke.
No. No, it's too late in the show.
Yeah. Well, then, aren't you French-Canadian, Mike?
Yeah, part French-Canadian.
I'm boycotting you, you French faggot!
Are we?
All right, wow. You stop laughing at that, Rob.
I didn't laugh at that. There's two guys. One of them waited.
Yeah. I think we got a very clear picture of what kind of mind waits long.
A beautiful mind.
A beautiful mind.
One guy waited an hour. Wow. The other guy waited 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You know, one-third, one-quarter was it? A third.
One-third of an hour. You are gone.
Don't call me again.
You are gone. You are gone. I am personally offended by that French-Canadian faggot comment. You are gone.
You're gone.
You're gone.
But finally,
from our meaningless survey department, a new magazine called Radar admits its poll was wildly unscientific, but it asked people in Times Square who stinks worst, an anti-war activist or French President Jacques Chirac.
Jacques Chirac.
He won by a nose. 52% said he stinks worst. The other 48% chose the anti-war activist. Other worthless questions, 71% said Donald Rumsfeld is hotter than Dick Cheney. 68% said Ben Affleck has become a wussy. 67% want Congress to ban Madonna from acting. And 53% say Katie Couric wants to do Matt Lauer. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Well, we gotta go. That's it. All right, boys, let's get this caravan rolling. Aren't you ready, Don? We'll let you know everything that happens tomorrow. I am ready.
Come to your house.
I am ready.
I check.
Welcome to the Tards. I am ready to take your money.
Say goodbye to that.
You want that water can?
Yeah, say goodbye to that water.
Negative.
It's going home with me.
Negative. Negative. You're losing your money. You're getting mad.
Not a chance.
You're going to be the first guy to leave.
I ain't turning over the table tonight.
We got to run. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, Rusty.
You are gone.
You're gone. BM.
Eater Tim.
Do we meet again? This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.